Oh, Corey, Paul, welcome to the show.
Shalom, everybody.
Joel Radio, back with you. Another big show here. Big one today. Big one.
Well, it's going to be different in that today I will talk to Joel, and Joel will talk to me.
Exactly.
And the cat will sit here in the studio.
The cat will do nothing once again.
Because people go, it's just two guys talking. No, it's two guys and a cat.
No, it is.
Let's get that right.
The cat, very comfortable in the studio today. All right, welcome to the show, everybody.
The best is when the cat will, like, crawl under a blanket and you won't even know it's there.
Yeah.
And then it'll emerge like a ghost.
She does that, but now she's comfortably on top of the blanket.
So yeah.
She's not. But anyway, welcome to the show, everybody.
Podcasting comfortably on top of a blanket since 2005.
Yeah, 6 years. We were just talking about that before we came on. We did Corey and Joel Radio number one in 2006.
Holy
butter. No, 2005, 6 years ago. 2005, 6 years ago.
Wow.
And we've come a long way since then, haven't we?
Gosh, no.
Yeah, I go, well, whatever.
Well, you got a new bedspread. I mean, that's
that's the innovation right there.
Yeah.
Makes the show that much funnier.
I think Joel has more unused video game equipment in the studio.
Well, there's, yeah, I mean, I don't think, what did I have in 2005? I don't even know.
What TV did you have?
That's a good question. That I can't even remember. That was like three TVs.
You didn't even have the big one. You had like
No, I had probably had a regular standard definition.
You had a giant square standard.
I had probably
like a 40-inch.
What did I? Do we?
Because that thing was heavy.
No, but I the big the HD tube TV that's in the other room right now.
Yeah,
that one I acquired during the run of the show,
right,
I think,
right,
yeah.
Right. So I don't even remember what TV you had.
I think before that I would have had a... I don't even know.
Pausing while Joel
no,
considers
no, 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 no. I had a 27-inch standard definition television.
So,
and know, I gave that to an ex-girlfriend, what is now an ex-girlfriend.
When we...
I think that's how that happened.
When we moved into our current apartment about 3 years ago, we took Amy's TV. She had a big, giant tube TV.
Yeah.
And we were going to move that. And we put it, like, we loaded it in the back of my mom's truck.
Uh-huh.
My mom's got, like, a Ford Escape. And my mom pulled off before I could, like, tie it down.
Like, what is it? What is an Escape?
You know, it's like a SUV kind of hybrid truck. And she pulled off before I could tie it down. So I went, hey, wait, and I got in my car and started following her, going, no, hey. She stopped and then walked back and, like, opened the door,
and it
rocked forward, and it just fell right out.
And onto the pavement?
And smashed. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So let me tell you, HDTVs are the way to go, because they're so much lighter.
Those they are, but so that one, heavy. I mean, I have a plasma, and that thing is, I think it's like 60 pounds or something.
Yeah, but you
can. Because it's all metal and glass.
But
it's
you feel like you can handle.
Well, me and you together could handle that
right
easily.
Whereas those old ones, you couldn't. It was a bitch. They were.
It's still
they
fragile.
They were weighted. Right, ridiculous. Yeah. Like, all the weight was in the front, and the back was plastic.
Yeah, it is.
So they just weren't balanced.
And it did slip out of your hands.
Yeah,
and
they
stuff,
were off.
Yeah.
Moving TVs.
Well, now, you know, and this is when the guy, because I ordered my TV online, and but the guy who delivered it said, you know, if you take apart the box a certain way.
Right.
You don't have to actually damage the box. It has, like, these removable handles.
Right.
And then you can put the TV back in the box if you need to take
it
anywhere.
That's a good idea.
And so I still have the box, and you just, like, has these plastic handles that pull out. The whole top slides off.
You know what? You've got a basement, so that's a good deal for you. I don't have anywhere to put that box.
Yeah, you've got a big TV,
I got
TV
a storage
too.
Space that's full of
Yeah, so that's what you stuff. Do now. If you have an HDTV, if you have it delivered to your house or whatever, don't throw the box away, because they're made to be reusable.
No.
And then when you have to move it, you just put it back in this box.
Well, folks, six years in, this is the most riveting conversation we've ever had.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay. All right. Hey, I was going to talk about how I removed some soap scum from my shower this weekend, but we can move along. I mean, if you don't want to hear about that.
I'm sitting here going.
Let me tell you something.
Actually, I'm sitting here going, hey, that's a good idea. But then I realized that maybe someone might want to listen to this show. And we're talking about
I was going to talk about how I went shopping for new shoelaces this weekend. Should we not do that?
No.
Can we not? All right, I'll move.
I was going to talk about how I switched deodorants.
Really? Okay. This is. I have tips on aerating your lawn for the spring.
That was
something.
So true.
Do you want to know? Does anyone care about that?
The grass just doesn't get green because the season changes, Joel.
I mean, this is all stuff.
You got to really put some labor into that.
I mean, people might say we've lost our edge, but, you know, a healthy lawn is.
You remember when we used to try? We get on the show and just yell and say controversial stuff just to piss people off. And now, this is what happens when you get old.
Yes.
While we were talking about these TVs, I sat there thinking what old farts we were. Like, when Joel and I started doing comedy, I started a little bit before Joel, but like there used to be a couple popular comedians and a couple guys we knew that had the same joke in their, that all had this joke about how you didn't have a remote control, so you had to go up and like change the channel yourself.
When you were a kid.
When you were a kid?
You were the remote control.
And you were the remote control, or you were the antenna. If the reception was bad,
right.
You had to stand next to the TV and then your dad would be like, "No, I'm getting it. No, turn this way." Like at least a dozen guys that I saw and worked with had that bit in their act, and we used to go, "That is impossibly hacky. I will never do something like that." And now I'm sitting here as the old man going, "Remember the old big tube televisions that were heavy and hard to move?" And
well,
there's kids won't know anything about this.
No, they won't. They, because the thing about, you know, a television now, if you're a kid, you don't understand what television used to look like.
No.
And how crappy it was and how you can get, even if you had cable,
right,
you didn't have good reception even.
Why don't they do that scene in a movie?
Yeah.
Like a time travel movie, like a kid goes back. Well, they kind of did it in Back to the Future.
Well, okay.
But you know what I mean? Like he went back and he's like, hey, the TV's tiny.
Yeah.
Go back to like have a kid go back to 1973 and be like,
please.
There's six channels? This is bullshit.
But you could go back to like
1987.
Well, I was watching a Married with Children rerun the other day. Literally the other day. Yeah. And they were doing something where Peg and what was the dad's name?
Al.
So Al's sitting there and Peg's talking about this dream life that she's gonna make for Al. And he would have a big TV that he could sit in front of.
Mm-hmm.
And Al goes to, and he leans over and he's like, can I have a 40-inch TV?
Yeah.
You know, like that was his dream.
Right.
Which now, a 40-inch TV is like the smallest TV.
I got that.
Yeah, you know.
I got that beaten by 8 inches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone's got that beat now.
Right,
you know,
right,
so
right.
Like that was his dream, and that would have been in like 89 or something.
And
91.
Amy wanted the 60-inch, and we compromised and got
a
48.
Well, because when you get up to 60, the price goes through the roof, you know.
I also think the picture probably doesn't look as good. Well, you've got to have a huge room.
Yeah, because you have to sit a certain distance from it or everything. You're going to see every little flaw in the,
you know what?
In the transfer of the movie or whatever.
We have like two couches, and if I sit on the other couch, I'm a little closer.
Yeah.
And the picture goes down a
you
little
start
bit.
Start to see the edges of stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You got to sit far away from these HD.
Well, that's
these
why.
These kids today don't understand.
They tell you to. There's all kinds. You can go on the internet and find a guide to. What size HD TV is right
fits
for your
room.
Yes. So.
This is probably too big for your room, but
no, this is the right size.
Yeah.
If you sit 10 feet away, that's a 42-inch plasma you're looking at there. And if from 10 feet away, that's good. And I could probably have a 50 in here.
Oh, great.
I would that would be my next move. Yes.
Yeah. So but there you go. We're old men. No, you know, half the reason people got cable in the 80s was that like our dads would be like, "Well, the picture's better."
Yeah.
They would bitch because
this is the
terror. Sometimes you go, wouldn't it be great if I lived back in the free love 70s
and
I could bang chicks? And
No,
you would have had shitty TV.
Well, the greatest invention ever in television at its time was the original DirecTV system. Because it looked so much better than cable at the time, what was analog cable. And I had that in probably 1999, maybe 98, 99, 2000. I had that. Like the original, not HD, just regular. Like it was actually not even called DirecTV. Mm-hmm. It was called two things. It was DSSB or USSB, and it was called DBS, is what it was called, Direct Broadcast Satellite. And then DirecTV was a provider. They ended up buying out the other guy or whatever and making it all DirecTV.
Yeah, I can't imagine what satellites were like.
But it was so good compared to like regular cable.
Just looked better.
It was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And now if you were to watch that on like an HD set, you'd be like, this is the snowiest, most blown up, shitty looking thing.
Comcast just added extra HD.
Yeah.
the other just the other day.
Sure.
Like, I finally got Comedy right. Central in H. I went, yeah. I'm like, holy, I can see the pores in John Stewart's face. And it was like, I've been waiting for HD Comedy Central.
I'm spoiled in that I have every channel. Now I think I officially have every channel I would ever want in HD now.
Well,
on U-verse. You get the AT&T U-verse.
There's two lingering. Fox Soccer Channel, which is only for my dorky ass.
Yeah, that's only for you. That doesn't count.
But you know what? I was at a bar the other night, and they had Fox Soccer Channel in HD.
Direct, the Dish might have that or something, yeah.
That, and they still don't have the goddamn TCM in HD.
Oh, I have that.
That's annoying.
Yeah, I have that. I was trying to show you.
It's a fucking movie channel. I know they're movies from the 30s. I know it's like No Nanette with, you know,
yeah.
I know it's a Marlena Dietrich marathon.
Well, here's the thing with that. They don't always look as good as you might think.
Right.
Because they're blown up. Let me
some of them haven't been processed.
Hand me that other remote, the big one there. Yeah, that one.
Some of them have not been dealt with. Right. Some of them haven't been remastered or processed.
Well, it's not that they haven't been. They're just, you know, they're just old movies. They're just, you know, the aspect ratio is still like a square. Well I was going to show you here.
Right. Like, I was watching the Ben Stiller show.
Right.
On IFC, and those aren't HD.
There's no benefit to that, yeah, no. Really. Well, here's what I've got. So this is, AT&T does this because they're a master sponsor. They group all the master's channels together. So this is like CBS.
I see.
And then you go to ESPN. Then they have like multiple dedicated...
They're the golf channel?
Channels just... No, these are AT&T specific channels just for the masters.
Wow.
Because I think they're done playing for the day because these were all doing the masters. There's like six of them.
So what can you like follow individual groups?
You can, yeah, you follow two different groups. Then they have like just like the last two holes is its own channel. Like that's group two. This is group one. This is the 15th and 16th.
So you
that's
can just Amen Corner. You can watch like 17 and 18.
You can just watch the last watch guys finish. And then there's like an interactive app which I think shows you all of the stuff going on. Yeah, because this was on earlier
this
today.
This is so crazy. I wish I liked the Masters more.
Yeah, my dad does, and I think he likes all this. But look, you can get like the leaderboard on here and all kinds of stuff. See here, they have a multi view.
Oh, Rory McIlroy is the current leader.
Of course he is.
Rory McIlroy from Northern Ireland.
See here, now you can like look. You can see like what channel.
Yeah.
And then on the right, if I want to,
there's
click
also
on the one
there's
on the
a
right.
channel just for Tiger's bimbos. There's
they get their own channel.
Yeah,
but here's the
Skank Vision. It's a great channel.
Oh, here's I have the Reels channel in HD.
Wow.
I can watch the Kennedys, which I didn't do this week.
I tried to watch that.
Was it watchable or
dire?
It looked bad to me. But
Barry Pepper was just like Bobby, and they gave his fake nose, and he was bad. Like
yeah, it looked. Bad.
I like Barry Pepper just fine.
Anyway, so here is
you know what? I've been wanting to see Leonard Maltin in HD. I really.
Well, I don't even watch Reels, but this is AMC, and I know they're in a pet food commercial or whatever. But there's AMC in HD, which I have. Now here's the Sony Movie Channel in HD, yeah. Which what is this? This is the Fan with De Niro.
Yeah,
but you know this. You know, you can watch shit on here. There's TCM in HD.
Okay.
So, I mean, look, it's what is this?
Well, it's cropped. It's a movie from the 50s.
Mr. Budwing from 1966 with James Garner, Gene Simmons, Suzanne Plachette, and Kathleen Ross.
I've never heard of this movie.
Yeah. Well, it's you know.
Hey, it's Jim Garner.
Jim Garner, there he is.
Ah, I like a young Jim Garner.
Young Jim Garner's good.
Good guy.
The problem with young Jim Garner is you know he grows up to be old Jim Garner, and he's a fucking dick.
Grizzled.
But, you know, I have a short.
You know what was great? You know what was great? They had a... Oh, a couple months ago, PBS had the legend, the pioneers of television.
Oh, good God.
And they did a whole, you know, one of them was like cops or detectives. Right. It might have been PIs. And so they brought Garner out, and he's wearing this ridiculous cowboy hat. Because I think they shot the Western segment and the PI segment on the same
day.
They
just kept Jim there the
whole
time.
And he just kept his stupid...
Didn't have to pay him for 2 days.
Right. Yeah. And he just had this stupid Smokey and the Bandit feathered cowboy hat on.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, I mean, when he was talking about Maverick,
like,
it made sense for him to be wearing a
hat.
In
the 80s, he was almost like a cool old guy. And then, like, what was the movie he did with, like, Sally Field? Or I forget what movie was. But, you know, he was still, like, kind of critically...
Places in the Heart?
Yeah, something like that. And he was still kind of like this old, you know, he was kind of this, you know.
No, he was
veteran.
He was cool
presence.
He was cool on Rockford.
And then he just became this
old cranky,
angry Republican asshole.
You know what? A lot of them do.
Yeah.
They just like Victoria Jackson. What happened to her? Her career fell apart.
Well,
she got crazy.
Her career kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
After SNL. She was just not, that's you know.
But not that she's as old as Jim Garner, because, but anyway, that Pioneers of Television, which was also, speaking of old cranky Republicans, was narrated by Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, well, there you go.
Jim Garner just talking about, like, what a great stunt driver he was. Like, they basically were like,
what a great skill to have.
No, and then, like, they spent about 5 minutes of this show about what an amazing stunt driver Garner was, and that he ended up doing all the stunts on Rockford because nobody was as good as him.
Wow.
And he picked the car because it was the right weight to do the tricks that he wanted to do. He's like, well, it had a wheel ratio.
Well, he's, right. You know.
And it's just like, I'm sitting there going, only I would sit here and watch.
That's cool, but
an 80-year-old James Garner talk about how great he was on Rockford.
But a lot of those guys, I think there was kind of a pissing contest back in the day between McQueen and him and those guys because McQueen, you know, wanted to ride his bike for the Great Escape. And he did for most of it. I don't think he did. He didn't do the big jump.
I don't think he did the stuff in Bullet, but.
Yeah, but yeah.
He probably
He did a lot of that stuff, and he would do movies just because he did a movie where he just got to drive like a PT boat.
Yeah.
Like, he would just pick these movies.
So was it The Sandcastle?
Yeah, I think it was that one. He would just drive. He would pick movies based on what he got to drive.
Papillon and stuff.
Yeah. He didn't drive anything in Papillon, did he?
No, but he did, like, crazy stuff in Papillon. Yeah, no, you're right. What he got to drive.
Yeah, that's, I've heard that about him. I've read that about Steve McQueen.
All right, we went from which box to store your HDTV in. Relevant as always.
Well, you started out just going on about old
stuff. I'm sorry. I could talk about this is the dirty.
I don't want to talk about Pioneer Talk. I'm just saying, with that.
Okay. If you've been listening to this show for 6 years, and there's one or two of you out there that have, you should know a little bit about Joel and I's personalities at this point.
What is that?
You should know. No, you just know somebody if you listen to him for a long time. And one of the things you should know about Corey is that I will talk at any length about old television to anyone. I will just talk about it till I'm bored.
Okay.
Everyone
I'm
in the room.
Bored now.
All right, let's talk about current television.
Well, we were going to talk about, it's funny, about old man stuff. I was like, I have written down on my sheet of paper to talk about morning talk shows, which is another, you know.
What's next, Metamucil? What's the next topic?
Right. Here, I have Young Pussy. It's on the 37th page of notes. We probably won't get to it today, but.
I wish you'd heard Stern today, because.
Well, I don't hear Howard.
There was a great Woody Allen. Speaking of old men and young pussy, there was a great Woody Allen story today from the woman who said that Manhattan was based on her. It was tremendous.
Oh, there's a woman who's claiming that?
Yes.
What's her name?
Oh, I can't remember.
Was she some old actress or something? Yeah. All right, I'll look it up.
But apparently, Woody got that when she was 16.
Oh, Woody Allen had sex with her.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, good for him. Yeah. Good to see a talented guy get laid. I have no problem with Woody Allen or what he did. I don't care. I don't care.
All right, good. All right.
So
free
anyway.
Pass. Make a good movie. Joel gives you a free pass.
Now, who am I more likely to be, Woody Allen or some other guy, you know?
Fine.
So
okay.
Look at it that way, from that perspective.
Sure. Okay. All right. I was going to say Paul Giamatti, but go ahead.
Paul Giamatti's talented.
I bet he's finger-banging 16-year-olds right now.
They passed me over to be his stand-in. Did I tell
that
story?
Oh, yeah. You went out for an audition.
I didn't. I sent a headshot. The guy was looking for a stand-in for Paul Giamatti.
Oh.
I said, how about me? I got a lot of hair, but I'm...
But you did read for something lately, right?
Oh, should I tell that story?
But you're not going to get a...
I'm not gonna get it
or anything, right?
Yeah, because you know all about. No, it was about 6 days ago. I don't know. They're making a new. I'll say it. I don't give a shit. They're making a.
You
new,
didn't get the part, so.
Well,
it's
I
not,
mean, you don't know. You have to give it like usually at least 2 weeks, probably.
Oh well,
then
maybe
you know you didn't get it.
Then maybe don't give it away.
Like the casting people are gonna listen to this and go, we're not giving it to him now. No, they're making a new Judd Apatow produced movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Jason Segel and directed by Nicholas Stoller, the same guys who brought you
Shocker.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And Nick Stoller did get him to the Greek as well. And I would have two lines.
Yeah.
I'm like a restaurant customer in this if I get cast. But I went to the audition, and every fucking guy I've ever met in my entire life, aside from Corey, was reading for it. So, you know.
I'm the one guy that doesn't go out for the movies. I probably should, because you know. What was the? You said the description was a weird big dude.
No, the name was Big Guy in the description, which I'm not even that big, but maybe if you look at my headshot, look at this gargantuan man. And
the problem is you're not tall enough to be a big, huge guy.
It could read, you know, if they put, you know. So anyway, but then and it said in a further character description, it said, you know, you don't have to necessarily be big if you're weird or interesting. And the director likes comedians and people with improv experience.
Okay.
And I go, well, that's, you know, I fit all those descriptions, right? So, sure. You know. But anyway, I went out red for it, and whatever. If I don't get it, I don't get it. But it's such a great cast. It's like Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec is like one of the male leads. Rhys Ifans is one of the male leads along with Jason. It's Jason Segel, Chris Pratt, Rhys Ifans. And the girls are Allison Brie, who apparently is Corey's you know, jerk fantasy. And who's the
that's my Jewess.
Who did
right
I tell
there.
You? The other one.
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. That's the other one. So there's
good stuff.
That would be a good movie to be in, you know what I mean? Absolutely. So yeah. But that's, I don't know that I'm getting it. That, so probably not at this point.
That blows but, away they're, Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah, I didn't even see Evangeline Lilly when I did that whole movie. So yeah.
That's coming out. When's that coming out?
October.
Oh.
Real Steel.
Yeah. Got pushed to October.
No, it was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be.
Sounded like an August or July.
No, it was supposed to be a Thanksgiving, and they actually moved it up. So that could mean it's maybe not. Yeah, I don't know what that means. Well, October's a weird time.
Okay.
So.
That's
it
probably,
could be either. It could go either way.
It's probably basically. A lot of post-work involved in that movie.
Yeah. So anyway.
I don't know if they're going to get Green Lantern done. Like, they just cut a trailer. Like, there's so much effects work in that movie.
Right. But I was going to say, well, they are doing extras casting for that movie, too, so I could always be an extra in the...
There you go.
The So I still may get to stare at...
Emily Blunt.
Emily
sure,
Blunt
that's
for
a good gig.
A day, you know. Yeah. I had to stare at Hugh Jackman's handsome ass for two fucking weeks. That handsome bastard.
That handsome son.
That handsome prick.
Hugh Jackman's one of those guys that's so handsome.
He really is retardedly
it
handsome.
It makes you feel like you never got laid. Like you got
right.
You can actually go, you know that you've banged some chicks in your life and you've done some things
right,
and you've
yeah.
been around. But
right.
you look at Hugh Jackman and you feel like you're 14.
Well, I just saw these
and you're pimply.
Thousands, literally thousands of hot chicks. Because, you know, the casting call was like hot chicks to be in the audience of this thing, at least one of them. And I'm just going, he could pick any broad in here.
Yeah,
and be banging her like right now.
You
like
know,
they got 2 hours to set up Dolly Track. He could go have sex with three of these chicks right now.
I will say something about
that. And I go, that's amazing.
There's something about movie actress hotness, though, that really does take it to the next level.
Yeah.
Like I bet if you see Emily Blunt, you're going to go,
yeah, maybe.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I've seen celebrities.
You can walk by a whole row
yeah.
of girls that would be like cheerleaders and would be hot.
Sure, yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. They'd be the yeah. shot girls at the bar. And you go, ooh. And then you like walk around and you go like, holy shit,
yeah.
is that Allison Brie?
Although, I'll tell you, I've seen...
Some of them are, like, Liv...
Famous people.
Liv Tyler wasn't as impressive in person
right.
as she is on screen.
But I've seen famous people up front,
yeah.
and a lot of times you can see wrinkles that you might not see on camera, and you can see that, but I'll tell you, I saw Hugh Jackman, and I was like, yeah. well, he's gonna look old up in person, he's a... The guy was beaming, the teeth were white, the guy's smiling.
Yeah, those real...
He takes his shirt off, the muscles, and I'm going... This fucking guy.
Those big stars they're not human. I was in an elevator
this
with Angelina Jolie.
Fucking cocksucker.
I was in an elevator with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And her phone rang, like, in the elevator. So okay. I didn't even get to say, like, you know.
Say hi to her.
I had about 12 seconds before
sure, yeah.
the phone rang. But I just, like, turned around. I'm like, oh, shit.
yeah.
I'm in an elevator with Angelina Jolie.
There you go.
And I was there to interview Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
But it was just the presence of her. And you just were like,
yeah.
like so incredibly stupid, white hot melting beauty that you were like confused.
Yeah.
But really, it doesn't happen very often. But I will say there is something. Some of these actresses actually have it.
Yeah, some of them do.
And
I mean,
some of it it's,
usually, yeah, because usually you'll see
it's pulleys and wires and grease.
Usually, if you see like
some of them.
Some of the chicks that you know they cast as like the friend or whatever are actually.
Super
in
hot.
A room would be the hottest chick in almost sure. any room you'd ever
right.
be in.
Judy Greer would probably blow you right out.
Yeah,
of the
you'd
room
probably be like, "Oh my god, yeah. who's that?" But you know,
oofa,
yeah,
Marone. That's who we had to have. Sal, let's get Sal in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, where's Sal been? We need Sal D'Amelio. We like that guy.
When's the next?
Well, whoever you want in. Who do you want to have in? We had John Tenney in not too long. It
let's,
was great.
Call the douchebag hotline. When was the last time we got a call on the douchebag
hotline?
If you
want to be booked on the show, just call 610-552, and we'll pretty much call you. We're bored at this point. we need you. We're gonna break down Good Morning America versus the Today Show in about 30 seconds.
610-552-0746. Call in and give us a list of your favorite
well, listen,
old Corey and Joel audience
do you want to get into the morning talk shows? Because I want to get into
yeah,
these movies.
We let's get into the morning talk shows.
Well, you said the Today Show sucked today. And I went like, I sample the morning talk shows. I usually watch most of the Today. I actually tape the Today Show. Because, and I've said this before on the show, you're acting all shocked. I've said this 100 times. You know, because if you get up at like 10 a.m., which is probably
nothing's on
my hour to get up, you're stuck watching The Doctors on ABC or some bullshit. And if you go to like a news channel, even, it's all kinds of discussions.
It's the dayside morning edition.
Yeah, it's weird. You can't get what you want. You know what I mean?
Being the absurdly avid watchers of television that we are, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m.
There's nothing
are the deadest times on television.
Well, you can watch The Talk at 2 p.m.
Oh.
With Julie Chen and Leah Remini.
Oh, Christ.
And, no, you don't. No one can watch that, but it's on.
I've tried
watching that, too.
When it first came on, I tried. I DVR'd it and made my girlfriend sit and watch it, and she was like, make this shit stop.
Yeah, it's such a – that show is so bad. You can't even, like, pick out – well, it's good, and then somebody opens their mouth and it's stupid. Just everything's dumb.
It's straight bad.
It just doesn't even make sense. Yeah. It's like people you would think they've never been on television before in their entire lives. It's that bad of a show. It's like it's people you think they've never had a conversation with each other. It just doesn't.
They haven't.
I mean, The View, as annoying as the hens on The View are, they at least seem to be able to have some kind of conversation with each other.
Did you see
Joy Behar who pulls that all together, but somehow they seem to be able to communicate.
There's the illusion of sisterhood.
Way. There's an illusion that maybe they know,
or
not
friends.
That they know what they're talking about, but
they've had dinner.
If they're discussing something, they may have actually seen the clip of whatever they're talking about.
Right.
Versus if you watch The Talk, it's like they don't want.
Well, Julie Chen is apparently not of Earth.
No, like she's the Chen bot.
Yeah,
they call her. That's what Big Brother fans call her.
She's clearly
they call
aerobic.
Her the Chen bot. Yeah,
and she got the job because she's banging the boss.
But they threw her off the morning show or whatever. Right. She left the morning show, the CBS morning show.
Yeah.
And they retooled. See, if you want to break down the morning talk show, let's start with them.
Well, CBS pulled the plug on everybody, right?
Right. They so now, no, no. Thing. Now they're the young, hip, 30-something morning show.
Which I have not
they're
seen
full
yet.
Of young. I wish I even knew the people's names. The only one I know is Erica Hill, is the female anchor. Yeah. And I only know her really because she was on like tech TV and stuff. She was the newsreader on there, and she's cute and stuff. And
all of the people that used to be on G4 and never did anything ever again in show business, I'd like a montage of that.
She is the far and away the most successful person that's ever been on that. I mean, you could say Olivia Munn maybe, but she really was on G4 and not tech TV.
You know what was that call-in show that they had on G4? It was kind of done in a radio show style.
Oh, it was the two chicks.
It was two chicks and some guy.
Yeah.
They kind of did.
I forget what that was called.
Well, those girls, Tina and.
It was Tina and some other.
They're on Xbox Live.
Yeah, I see them on Xbox. I've seen them. They do Xbox Live
videos.
That's
they found a gig.
That's not a show business ghetto. That's a step up from podcasting.
I'll tell you what, it's keeping them in ramen noodles.
But.
I'll tell you right now.
Let me tell you about the CBS.
Larry Herb,
show.
I'll take your money anytime to be on Xbox Live.
Say, listen. The CBS morning show.
Yeah.
Then they got like the other anchors, is a male anchor. Then the newsreader is like some guy who looks like he's like the twin brother of the newsreader. Like they just one guy's blonde and one guy's brunette. And then they have a feisty Latina weather girl.
Sure.
Who is kind of sexy but really annoying. And there's lots of banter and they're hip and fun and like they'll go to like when they come in from a break, it's like you see a big like a helicopter shot of Central Park, and they'll play like the Strokes behind it, or like the LCD sound system. They play like kind of hipster, like
so you tell me, these people,
music behind it. Yeah,
these people look like they could have been extras in like one of those skin movies from the '80s, like like Malibu Bikini Company or something.
They're
all like blonde surfer looking.
No,
dudes?
Not really. They're more like yuppie looking.
Oh,
they're very much like city. They're like the girls are like. Like, Erica Hill is kind of not really, like, a sex bot. Mm-hmm. She's kind of a nerdy, nerdy, cute chick.
Like,
but the other girls is very, like, Sex in the City. It's
they're the
more
people,
like,
they're
yeah,
like the people in the bar on Melrose Place. Like,
it's like a young, it's like what you would see in, like, a, like a Chelsea bar, at 6 o'clock.
Well, a Chelsea bar on television. Like
How
I Met Your Mother.
They want to,
the extras
sort of
on How I Met Your Mother?
That's actually pretty apt description. It's, late 30s, early 40s, urban, cool people. Okay?
Which is us, except we look like dog piles.
The guys who set up the lights are better looking than us on the CBS morning show.
That's another thing. Speaking of celebrities, by the way, I'm like a week younger than Charlize Theron. And I look at her and I just go, what could my life have been if I was an attractive person?
And then
she's a week older than me.
So then you go over to the ABC. They've got the Good Morning America, which
sure.
Somehow they recently, I think Diane Sawyer left that.
Well, she's new in the nightly news.
Okay, yeah. So that is now
right.
George Stephanopoulos. What happened to him,
he
by
looks
the way?
Like he's in the ninth ring of hell. Here's what happened. Okay, so George Stephanopoulos did this week on Sunday morning.
Yes. And, well, I mean, you're talking, he left Clinton's.
Right, he was in Clinton's campaign, but and then he was.
He was a spokesman.
It was like a press secretary.
Press secretary.
Was he? No, was he the press secretary?
No, because Dee Dee Myers was. No, he was like the.
He was in the media.
Chief of staff or something,
yeah,
wasn't he?
He might have been chief of staff.
I think he was chief of staff, yeah.
He was a big player in the Clinton administration.
And then he left to kind of.
Maybe Carville was the media.
But then he left to be a. Well, Dee Dee Myers was the original spokesperson.
She was the press secretary. Yeah. But there's also, you know, whatever. There's like a boss to the press
secretary.
Okay,
anyway. But he leaves to be a pundit, pretty much, right?
Yeah,
and then eventually he took a full-time gig with ABC.
Right.
Or did he go to ABC right away? I can't remember if he was like a freelance guy.
I think he's a little freelance, but he's been at ABC a long time. And he's been like the roving sort of political person.
Yeah, but then...
And then he took over this week, and that was like a great show for him.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And he was my favorite of the morning
show. I agree with you. He's good on television.
He's good at that format.
Yeah, sure.
Of he could handle the serious interviews, mm-hmm. and then when it came time for the round table and George Will got, you know, diarrhea or whatever.
All right.
When it was time to kind of goof around on the panel, he was good at that too.
Sure.
So then they go, hey, we need you to go do a Morning America. Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Now that's a show where you're on every morning at 4 a.m, you gotta be there.
Mm-hmm.
This week was once a week. You probably have to do a little research, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you're doing. But you're going into the. You're not sitting at home all week. You're going to the office.
Good
and doing
Christ,
stuff.
It's got to be terrible to do that morning show.
Yeah, I think they just pay you so much money that you can't turn it down, and it's like a prestige position at the network, and it's probably has lots of perks.
That was basically the premise of Morning Glory with Rachel McAdams and Harrison Ford was that they went and got a serious newsman to do the morning show, and it was a nightmare for him.
Well,
and I just every time I see George Stephanopoulos sitting there going. Coming up next, what's cool fashions for your baby?
he's doing cooking segments, and that ABC studio is so weird. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's like they're in this Times Square, and it's this big glass bubble, and it looks horrible. It doesn't even,
and then there's all these weird. There's all these fat nudniks from Kenosha, Wisconsin standing outside. All
right, and the Today Show has that too, but they're less, it seems like when Good Morning America does stuff, they're like hovering. They're like right there. Like, they can't get those people close enough.
Right.
To, you know, the action, it adds nothing.
A tsunami hit Japan today and killed 30,000 people. And you got some fucking douchebag over there listening to his iPod.
Well.
You know, bouncing in the shot.
Yeah, but there's, like, people, I believe, and Good Morning America, they actually let them, like, in the studio. And the Today Show keeps them outside, and then the anchors go outside for stuff. But I think on ABC, they actually let them in once in a while.
They'll actually throw it out to the people.
Or Al will be out there doing the thing.
Will they have a music guest? Do they bring people in? Is that what they do?
No, if they have a music guest in the studio on the Today Show, they're just there.
Today's got an outside stage.
They have an outside stage. And NBC, of course, has their Plaza concert. But anyway, and then on ABC, on the Morning America, you have Robin Roberts doing the female anchor. She was the newsreader.
Yeah.
And she was on ESPN. So no offense to her, but no eye candy whatsoever. On that, because that's part of what you got. I mean,
I wasn't
that's part of the appeal of the morning show.
Well, I wasn't prepared for your inside analysis
of
the morning show.
No.
I didn't know you.
So,
were
I mean, listen. Even if I liked them, I'm not going to stare at Robin Roberts and fucking George Stephanopoulos the whole time. I'm just not. I can't do that.
Just Stephanopoulos looks like
and you know, because
agony.
Like I said, CBS has a couple of cute chicks. The Today Show, and then you go to Today Show, and you get like you know. Meredith Vieira, it's over for her. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, she was...
Well, now she's leaving.
She's leaving, yeah, but she might not be leaving for, like, another 6 months or something. But.
Well, you know, today, just today, not attention people in the future.
Today.
This is when today was...
Not today, yesterday.
Well, whenever you hear this
today,
show,
tomorrow.
Meredith Vieira interviewed Donald Trump.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And apparently
interview.
She just kind of...
I saw it.
Whiffed on it.
I'll tell you all about
people
it.
People were not happy
No, Trump.
With it.
Trump basically went on about... All this birther shit
right.
that has all been debunked.
Yeah.
And Meredith just had no research to defend herself. And he kind of she didn't really challenge his crazy rantings. So it was, you know, 15 minutes of Trump ranting and raving about how Obama was born in Africa.
I mean, like, honestly, like, what is in it for him?
He wants to be president, but even if Obama wasn't born in America, it doesn't make him president.
Right.
Like, even if he's right, it doesn't not make Obama the president.
Now his claim is that there's something on the birth certificate.
Well.
But first of all, there's a certificate of live birth.
Let me finish.
It's online. You can look at it.
But that's different from a birth certificate, because that's something that's done after the person was born. Sure. There's supposed to be some document, you know, that when you're born, the doctor signs it.
Yeah.
And Obama doesn't have that, and that's what he's going on about. And then, like, his grandmother gave some interview. Now, she doesn't speak English, but she said, and this is what Trump goes on about, that she was at his birth, which was in Africa.
Uh-huh.
But apparently she's claiming that, like, the translator got it wrong, and that he really was. Although, even Bill O'Reilly said, you know, it was in the Hawaii's two daily newspapers the day he was born. And it's like, yeah, just drop it. It's over. But anyway. So let me tell you, Meredith Vieira, okay, she's the female anchor.
Sat there like a bozo.
Yeah, so she's, you know, whatever. She's not hard news, really. But you really shouldn't have to be hard news to cover Trump because he's a moron.
Well, that's the thing. It shouldn't, okay, you don't need to be like David Brinkley to outsmart Donald Trump, right? You're right.
Yeah, like, you shouldn't have to be hard news.
Regis should be able to handle Donald Trump.
But, you know, Trump was grandstanding, which, you know, that's what he does.
But he's a blowhard.
And it's fine when he grandstands about, you know, when he talks about how rich he is and how his show is number one.
Sure.
He's lying.
Yes.
But nobody calls him out on it.
Right.
But then when he talks about something that actually is factual.
And accuse the president of something.
Exactly.
That's something that needs to be dealt with.
It's okay to go on TV and lie about yourself and say how great you are. When you go on and you lie about other people, you might have
to
get
your facts
right.
You know what the great thing is? He actually licenses his name. So a lot of these buildings that say Trump on them aren't even things that his company has built.
Yeah.
It's like some other company licensed the Trump name.
Oh.
And now he's selling mattresses.
He does. I see the commercial.
He's got the goddamn the Trump Serta mattress. I bang Melania on a mattress that's like fucking on a cloud. It's like my golden dong.
I'm sure he's only
doesn't weigh this. I can put my huge golden penis on this mattress and it just folds right into it.
I'm sure
it's like sleeping on a dream.
When those things come off the assembly line, half of them get stamped Walmart and go there.
Yeah.
And half of them get stamped Donald Trump and get charged three times the price and go there. And I'm sure that's all.
It's the same fucking mattress.
I mean, is it stuffed with, like, his hair? Is that why it's so
I've
good?
Actually stuffed it with
is
money.
That pillowy comb over?
It's all $50 bills. I put it in there because I'm so extraordinarily wealthy.
Is that it? It's his ones and fives and twenties that he doesn't want?
Interestingly enough,
puts them in there.
The hair is from my back.
Oh, yeah?
And that...
you ever notice this?
I just take the hair from my back and push it onto my head.
Next time you see Trump, notice that he's all tan.
Yeah.
But you can tell he's going in a tanning booth and wearing those little things over his eyes. Because his eyelids are all pale. And you can see, like, the little mask thing. It's so weird.
And, you know, I know you tried to make a go at it and you couldn't, but we watched that damn Celebrity Apprentice.
No, you watch it every time because you're an idiot.
But he's been making such a boob of himself with these, like, this phony election. Because clearly it's, he's got no chance of
running
for president.
Well, he can't, he said also in this interview with Mayor, I still haven't broken down the Today Show for you.
We'll get to the Today Show.
Fuck, when?
In a second.
Jesus,
I'm not
fuck.
Done with this piece of shit,
listen,
Trump.
Listen to me.
What?
He can't officially run for office because The Apprentice is on the air. And it would be illegal for him to be on a network television show.
So he'd have to
and
give
be a
that
candidate.
Up.
Well, he has to wait for it to end its run.
Right. Which is kind of why. Didn't,
if he was going to do something.
Didn't Fox cut the paycheck out from Newt Gingrich?
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if he's declared. Is that what happened?
No,
is
yeah. Fox was like, you can't actually be a paid contributor.
Okay, well,
if
he's declared. Yeah, if he's
yeah.
declared and running.
Well, he's got a exploratory committee.
Well, okay.
So that's what. So.
Here. He could save a lot of money. Hire me.
Right.
$50. You have no chance.
But all those
get
people,
out.
But like Sarah Palin is a contributor to Fox.
And Huckabee is on
Huckabee.
The payroll.
So like all those people that if they're going to run, they're going to have to give
well,
up their
job. Well, I
think
that's what's going to happen. But so anyway, so Trump.
I don't think Palin's running for shit.
You want to talk about the Celebrity Apprentice is just moronic. I don't know how you can watch. Okay, even if I liked it, they have these episodes. They're 2 hours.
Yeah, they are.
And they're only 2 hours because they have nothing else to run. These shows are, you can tell they're structured to be an hour long.
Sure, and they
go on and fucking on.
I have enjoyed The Celebrity Apprentice in the past.
Horrible show.
But there's a kind of a recurring theme on that show. They get interesting people on, like Dice was on.
Okay.
And they fired Dice the first week.
Okay.
Gene Simmons was on, okay. And they fired him the first week.
Okay.
Tom Green was on, and okay. He lasted about 3 weeks.
All right.
And then you had to sit there and watch Clint Black the rest of the time. Trump is dumb in that he gets rid of the most, because the choice is down to him.
I understand that.
And so he dumps the more interesting people because they're combative.
Well,
what he wants is for people to, he wants a couple things. He wants you to backstab and stick the other guy in the ass. And he wants you to be a big blowhard like him, or else he, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's an unwatchable show, and yet I'm still watching it.
Yeah, but you watch it.
You're so right, because once the challenge is done, there's at least 40 minutes of padding of him
it's just,
talking to them in the boardroom.
It's so stupid. If these people were entertaining, and Bobby said this last time we talked about this, if these people
They'd have a show!
If you were good, you'd be on a show, and you wouldn't need to be on this show. It's awful. Now, it's just 2 hours. It's too much.
Well,
I mean, even if it was good. My girlfriend watched it the one night, and I was working. I think I was working on this radio show. I was posting it or something. And she just had it on. It was like the next day I had to tape it for her because she was out of town or something. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, is this thing almost over? And she's like, oh, there's like, you know, 45 minutes left.
Yeah,
and
I go, it goes on.
Why? I go, why? The guy's coming to judge who has the better RV. It's the next segment.
It ought to be done.
What's left?
Right.
What's left?
No, it's 40 minutes of him going.
Like they just, you know.
Now, Dionne Warwick, why did you screw this challenge up?
It's like if it didn't have to be 2 hours, they could almost cut it and make it better.
Yeah.
But it's like you're just watching almost like real time footage and you're like.
Yeah. No, an hour of it would be fine.
You can't. Look, I know Meatloaf yelled at Gary Busey about paintbrushes. I saw the clip, but
it was terrific.
Well, but I mean, you know,
you're right. It's an hour show.
It's an hour show that stretched it to. And even if it was an hour, I don't think I'd watch it.
Well,
it'd still be dumb.
Apparently, it must cost nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure it does
for NBC, and so they're like, it's a 2 hour block, and apparently, it does just good enough in the ratings to continue that.
Yeah, he talks about how it's like the number one show, but I don't know where he gets.
Well, meanwhile, CBS is like got. What, three shows on in the time? It's got Amazing Race and Undercover Boss.
Yeah, and then whatever's on at 10, which is...
Yeah, it's got like three shows in this time it takes from Trump
some somebody
to do some
getting
shit.
Killed, I'm sure.
Right.
At 10 o'clock.
Yeah. It's Gary Gary Sinise.
Yeah,
somebody on a corpse.
But, you know, it's just like, who's watching? But people watch it. I hear people say they watch it, but I'm like...
Can we just teach rapists to use a condom and then we won't have any more CSIs?
There's no more
shows.
CSIs. Well, really? I'm fine with that. I'm fine with no more
Put
Apprentice.
On a Jimmy hat.
I'm fine with no more CSI. I'm fine with no more Law and Order.
Law and Order, who watches that?
Well, I was speaking of dumb shows, I was watching WWE's new Tough Enough the other day.
Oh,
Because I know.
Time.
Go ahead. Right.
Time.
Right, you're scaring the cat.
I'm sorry.
Look at that. Listen.
You're gonna bitch about how bad.
No, I did. I watched it, and it wasn't great.
Watch
but
Tough Enough.
It wasn't great, but I figured I needed to watch this, so I watched it.
Hi, Kitty.
And,
I don't think Al Snow is gonna be the
no Al Snow.
Anymore.
I'll tell you all about it if you want to know. But they had a commercial on USA Network for they're bringing back the Vincent D'Onofrio Law and Order.
Oh, sure.
But I think it's just on USA.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're actually making it now
for
just
USA.
For cable.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened to Monk? Did that happen to Monk or something?
Yeah, Monk was on... It was split between NBC and...
Because USA is owned by
USA.
NBC. It's
and I think,
the
like,
parent company.
It got big on... It started out on USA. It got big on USA. They put it on NBC.
And then it went back.
And then went back to USA.
Is that still on?
No.
Okay, I don't even know.
Finally stopped with the Monk.
Okay.
I think they clocked... Like, they went... That's about 150 episodes. Are you guys done?
I think they realize when they get it to the point where we can recycle these and, you know, we've got enough to play this three times a day for a year.
Right, sure.
We're done with it, right. And we can throw, you know.
As long as you've got a full of, you can play it five times a week for a year.
But maybe they've run out of the Law and Orders, because right. that's a lot of what USA Network is. Repeats of all those, you know.
Apparently,
10 o'clock dramas.
Ask my dad, because he watches.
I don't know.
Like it's his job.
But I think they were saying, I mean, unless I got the ad wrong, that like, hey, they're back, and it's, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio, whatever was on Criminal Intent. Am I close?
Who can watch?
I don't know
that?
Which Law and Order that was.
Who can watch that garbage?
Somebody does. People watch it.
I mean.
Well, I remember I watched it really at length the first time they did the one with the Juggalo killing. And I went like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. And you were like, well, they're all like that.
They're
and
all
I go,
stupid.
Well, then how come people say that this is good TV? They always hold that up as like, well, Survivor is for idiots.
I am.
But Law and Order is the smart person's
Joel,
television
I'm increasingly
show.
Becoming aware.
And you just go, why? That's terrible stuff.
I'm becoming increasingly aware. The older I get, the more media I consume. And let's be honest, I consume media.
You do.
Like a lonely housewife in Wisconsin consumes Kingdoms, that it's not for me. Most entertainment is for people do not want.
It kind of is
to
yeah.
be entertained or
it's,
stimulated.
It's, a lot of stuff is for people with no imagination.
They want to be comforted.
Who were like a hackneyed story is no problem because they haven't either seen enough or they don't care enough to look for originality.
Well, no, I think they are comforted
by the familiarity
of it.
Yeah, maybe.
Whereas different plots confuse them.
Yeah, that might
First
be
First of all, there's a
like different structures and different plots. And, you know, I mean, if you watch those shows, you go like, okay, it's the third segment. So this is where we falsely accuse the boss of the killing. And then we go back to the wife who we met in the second segment, who's actually the killer.
This is why I generally don't like mysteries as a genre.
Okay.
Because I'm so aware of the structure.
Sure, yeah.
That it's very difficult for a mystery to fool me.
Yeah. But those shows all have the same pacing and the same, you know.
It's a factory. Yeah. They come out, they get extruded, they put a rubber glove on, they fill it full of bullets, blood, and semen, and they tie it off and they throw it at it, you know, and you go, you put in a faded actor.
But, you know, they put sort of these good actors.
Well, they put a guy who used to be good,
like
Mandy Patinkin or David Caruso,
right?
And then their career kind of stiffed. The Gary Sinise, not exactly lighting up the box office.
Who's that? Alfred Molina's in, what is he in? He's a good actor.
Fred Molina doesn't need to do that shit.
But he's on one of those now.
Yeah, he's on one.
I don't know what he's on. But he's on.
No, he's on Law and Order Los Angeles, which recently killed off Skeet Ulrich.
Oh my God!
And rebooted. Like it was so. Here's what's great. It's the same.
They go. We could make a new show with these new actors, but instead. We'll just keep the same name and the same time slot and put new people on it? Is that the idea?
Well, Star Trek ran into this problem.
Okay.
Star Trek had, you know, they were gone for 30 years. They were making movies.
Right.
Then they made Next Generation. That was it. So then they made Deep Space Nine. Then they made Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, you know what I mean? Just how many episodes of Star Trek can you do?
Well, I think that was the problem. But Star Trek, but they're approaching it differently. They're saying we're going to keep the same show, and we're just going to change the guys and call it the same thing.
Yeah.
And you're saying they're rebooting it. Star Trek, they actually made a whole new show retell the same stories.
Well, it's just that, you know, eventually you run out of premises for how this engine failed on your Starship. You know what I mean? Like, what new alien race is interfering with
my feeling is that, okay, if the black guy was the captain on the last one, he now has to be the engineer. And then the woman will become the doctor, and then the guy will be, you know. And
I kind of
fat guy will be the captain.
I
kind of
like the
time.
Scott Bakula one, because they went back to like, well.
That was Enterprise, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they were like, well, we're going to go back in time, so the white guy's the captain again, and the black guy's got like two lines of show. It was kind of like the original Star Trek.
They went back, they're like, fuck this production value, we're going to make it look like the 60s again.
Well, they had a black guy, and he was like, every third episode, they'd go, hey, Travis, go do something. Like, it was, you know what I mean? It was back to two white guys talking to each other and a Vulcan chick. Anyway.
Where are we at?
I think Star Trek just wore itself out. Why these CSI shows don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, once you get 800 episodes of Star Trek across four different shows, you eventually go, that's enough Star Trek.
Well, I think when people see that formula where they go, oh, I can just tune it in now and, okay, that guy. Like, you know exactly where you are when you turn it on.
Yeah.
even if you join it halfway in. Because I hear that from people.
Actually, I see the hole in my argument. Star Trek's for a specific audience of nerds.
Yeah.
Who are actually concerned. They go, well, that's actually, you've done that plot before. And
right.
They bitched about Voyager had repeated plots of the other shows.
Okay.
Whereas CSI people don't notice. They don't care.
Well, I don't think they care. I think they just want it to fit that formula. I think the worst thing for that show would be to break the formula.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters who's acting or what the story sure. is or whatever. I think they just want it to be that structure. And it's not, I mean,
and this all leads into one of the movie reviews.
And then
I saw a movie that completely fulfills this principle.
But it also works for a lot of reality stuff, too, where... When you know the structure of it.
Reality stuff's even more structured.
Reality stuff is even more. I mean, Survivor, that's the same fucking thing since, you know, they're in their 16th series or whatever they're in.
Now,
and it's like, well, it's the same show.
The only difference, like a show like Pawn Stars, the only difference is what kind of items they
bring.
Sure,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It is the same premise right. every week.
Because he's going to, you know, you want to know if his coin is worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
But he's got to call his friend who knows about coins.
Right.
And he can't show up for at least three more segments.
Yeah.
And then when he, you know what I mean? And then when he shows up, yeah, it's the same shit.
Is this actually a Civil War flintlock rifle or, you know, and people, and please
but see,
spare
a
me.
Show.
By the way, I know flintlock rifles were before Civil War, so please spare me.
Well,
anyway,
it would be refreshing for one of those shows to just bring the shit on and the guy tells him what it is right then and we move on.
But you know what?
They bring you back.
I've been watching Storage Wars.
Of course you have.
You know, and Storage Wars is kind of endlessly fascinating to me just to see what's in the locker.
Yes.
But they don't really, a lot of times it's just crap in the locker.
But that's the mystery, yeah.
Right, right.
I watched the one and the guy thought, everyone thought it was a Hammond B3 organ.
And it was bunk.
And it was some other organ.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But everyone bid because if it's a Hammond B3, it's worth like $30,000.
Right. But the bidding is exactly the same. Like,
it is, yeah.
The problem with that show is the first half of it is them bidding on stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, I can't believe Dave bid me up on that.
Right.
And then the next week it's, how did Barry beat Dave on
and
that bid?
And then when the guy gets
the
it,
same thing.
The phase two of the show is finding out what the stuff in the thing was
right.
worth.
That's what is interesting.
But that's what's interesting to you.
Well, yeah, what's in the locker is
okay,
interesting.
But they have two things. They have the competition to get the item.
Which I don't give a shit about.
But that also works on the same level that these other reality shows,
sure.
these competitive shows do. And then there is the, what is the shit worth now that you have it?
But,
you know, it has the gambling element to it.
What's really weird and crazy are these shows like Axemen and like Swamp People.
Well,
and I'm like, who's watching that?
I don't know, because the new show that's on after a show that I won't discuss, I won't waste anyone's time with.
What?
I watch The Ultimate Fighter on Spike TV,
okay.
which is, you know, where guys want to be in the UFC.
Which
and they,
is tough enough, but
it's kind of tough enough, but it's UFC, and Brock Lesnar is one of the coaches, so,
sure.
it's interesting to me. The show that's on after it, which runs every break, is Coal.
Okay.
It's
coal mining.
West Virginia coal miners.
Yeah.
Now, when they show the clips, it's, you know, it kind of looks cool.
Right.
But I don't want to watch that.
Let me point something out to you.
What's that?
You know why there is a Detroit?
Why is that?
Because fuckers wanted to get out of the coal mine.
Well, that's true, too.
And they came up here because working in the auto factory was slightly better than working in the coal mine.
Why there's not an auto workers reality show at this point, I don't know, but it's got to be in the
works.
By
the way, let's call Russ Brown, and he'll tell you what goes on in the plant.
Harry Berberian's probably putting something together. Because,
right, sure. He's got a pitch.
With auto workers,
My grandfather worked in a coal mine.
My grandfather was also a coal miner on my mother's side.
And then the war came up, and he was like, went and got in the army,
sure.
and then went to college afterwards.
Yeah,
and he went back to his like high school reunion in West Virginia, and they said
half those guys were dead.
Yeah, there were
from
well
the black
it,
lung.
It was one of those deals where they were like, it's everybody who went from 1935 to 1958. You know, you know what I mean?
It was
like,
that few guys to show up.
A couple hundred people show up from 12 classes of people.
Oh.
But you know. They were like, well, Ralph was like the smartest guy because he got out of here as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's...
Like, he turned 18 and we never saw him again.
Yeah, it's only later in life that you figured out who made the good decisions.
Yeah.
Because at the time, everyone's like, he's an idiot. And then, you know, later
and then
you go.
Then my grandpa came here and worked at the tech center.
Now, my
for
grandfather
50 years.
Had got the black lung from being
God.
A coal miner. So he went and he was like a bus mechanic for the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
That's my mother's stock.
Right. You know. They came up here to get a better job.
Right, yeah. So
somewhere.
He left Western Pennsylvania and came to Detroit.
Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia with all due apologies to North Dakota, which I've never been to, are the biggest shitholes in the United
Come
States.
Come on, stop it.
Absolutely.
Come on, now.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Listen, I'm sure there's places that you would not want to go.
I'm sorry, did you say West? Yeah, Western Pennsylvania is horrible.
Western Pennsylvania.
Eastern Pennsylvania is slightly
better. But
slightly better.
Western Pennsylvania is horrible.
What a goddamn shithole. What a garbage barge. I live in Detroit, and I can declare Western Pennsylvania ought to be. You know what? If we were going to have a nuclear reactor blow up,
yeah,
that'd be it.
Well, I was just in Milwaukee.
It would screw up my drive to D.C.
I was in Milwaukee last weekend.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Milwaukee's
people
weird.
Went to Milwaukee, and people were like, yeah, everyone was from Detroit, and they were all like, this is amazing. And I go, why? Like, what? I mean, they do have a downtown that does have stuff in it more than we do.
Here's the deal. I mean, you know what Milwaukee is?
What's Milwaukee?
Milwaukee is Detroit in like 1971. Right? It's like a dump. It's an old rundown dump with white people still in it.
No, well, they have some apparently where I was staying was staying at the Intercontinental Hotel. So apparently where I was, it was a nice that's where the nice shit was, you know? Which don't ask me why I was staying at the Intercontinental Hotel either, because I don't know why.
That's where the Intercontinental Belt?
That's where the van dropped me off, and I was in the Intercontinental
Hotel.
When
the guy wins the Intercontinental Belt, does he go stay at the Intercontinental Hotel?
Yes, I beat Pat Patterson for it. And but then I lost
You pinned Honky Tonk.
I lost it to Greg Valentine, and then, where he kicked the cage door in my face.
What happened was...
It was Tito Santana.
You had Honky Tonk pinned, and on the second count, Rick Rude ran in and hit you with
the Ultimate Warrior chair. Ran in and won the title in 10 seconds. And then he captured the world championship.
Next week, Wrestle Talk.
At WrestleMania 6. No, but here, listen to me. Milwaukee, like, people were impressed that, like, they had bars and pubs that were, like, you know... not run down and shitty in the actual downtown of Milwaukee.
You know,
and I was like, well,
guess what? Detroit has.
I mean,
that too.
Look, Detroit kind of. I mean, if you stayed at a certain hotel in Detroit, you would be surrounded by new modern bars and restaurants
they're
that
here.
Look cool. But
they're harder to find. But they're here.
What's the one hotel that they redid?
I like the Book Cadillac.
The Book Cadillac, yeah.
Or there's like a Sheraton over by the casino.
Yeah,
in
there's
Greek
one
Town.
That has like.
What's the one in Greektown? Right.
The Greektown Hotel?
There's a new hotel they built.
The Athenaeum?
No, not the Athenaeum.
Athenaeum's nice, though.
There's like a Sheraton over there.
Oh, is there? Okay.
But it's like between Harmony Park and
yeah, if you stayed in that,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's between Harmony
yeah.
Park and Greektown, so you'd probably have 50 bars and restaurants
you could
to go to
any
between
of these, and
you'd
be having the greatest time of your
life.
You
wouldn't think it was bad at all.
And you drive by a theater, and like, you drive by the theater, and they're like, oh, look, there's shows coming there.
The problem with Detroit is it's 10 miles wide and an inch deep. There are parts of Detroit that are just fine.
Yeah.
But they're in between crack houses.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you know what I mean? There's not, it's not a, it's not sustained in the way
it
other
is.
Cities
it's
are.
It isn't. It's all, everything's all spaced out. And,
but by the way, LA has got all kind of shitty neighborhoods.
Exactly. Yeah.
LA is this massive sprawl. And,
well, LA, I think, is closer to Detroit than,
yeah. You know why?
You
know why? You know
places.
Why? Because, LA has like a big buffer area between, like Hollywood and downtown, that's, it's all like a Latino and Korean ghetto.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
That's what happens in
Detroit.
I know
what you're saying about LA, that there's other, like, municipalities, like, in the counties that are nice.
Sure.
And, the downtown is whatever that is, but there's all kinds of bullshit.
Well,
in between, like, where the people live and where they work.
It's a vast area, right? Mm. So, I mean, you can go in, in a day, you can go from Beverly Hills to Englewood. And have an entirely different experience.
Yeah, well, but it's also they're also much like Detroit, very much based on the car.
Sure,
and that's why Los Angeles, I think, is the way it is because people figured, hey, we can drive,
we can
live
here,
get in the car and go there, and don't have to stay there. Yeah. All right, we got to move along because I'm not even going to get to break down the Today Show.
What's wrong with the Today Show?
No, the Today Show is the best show of those shows.
Yeah,
because they actually can do hard news, and they will do like.
And then they'll bring puppies in.
They will bring puppies in, but their hosts are
and
not.
And they'll say, this is Roscoe. He's playful. And
they actually have some hot chicks that are like their correspondents and they're like their fill-ins and these kind of people. Not so much Meredith Vieira or any of these, but,
Well, fuck that Walter Paley Award. Forget the Peabody.
But
Joel says there's hot chicks on there.
There are some hot chicks on there.
Forget that investigative journalism.
But if you're going to watch somebody play with it.
But you know, their facts aren't accurate, but you can spank it to the wetter broad.
Would you rather watch, you know, who would you rather watch? Robin Roberts and George Stephanopoulos play with the puppies? Or like some hot, young, you know, wannabe anchor broad who they bring in for as a family?
I will say that today's show's been worse in times past.
Sure. None of those are great shows, but I feel like, you know, they compartmentalize what they do. And, you know, you don't have to watch every segment of it. And that's why if I tape it, I can watch, you know, the first hour of the Today Show in like 10 minutes. And I feel I'm caught up on stuff.
Being the big information dump that my brain is.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to watch all those shows. I used to when Brian Gumbel hosted Today Show.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get news.
Yes.
So I would watch the news in the morning and in the night. You know, mm-hmm. I would watch the 6 o'clock and the 11.
Yes.
Because I wanted the news. But now I have the internet.
And you get the news whenever you want.
And
sure.
There's no reason for me to watch the Today Show ever. Now, I do watch analysis shows later, you know. Like,
yeah, see, I don't watch it. I try to not watch
I'll watch, like, Hardball
shows.
Or Rachel Maddow or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'll watch those.
See, that
that's a different
me.
Thing than
yeah, that's
I don't
true.
Need to watch the news.
Well, I feel like when I get up in the morning, either I can go sit in front of the computer.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is you got to sit in a chair. And you know what I mean? I feel like I'm more relaxed. I can sit in front of the television.
All right.
And
so
get my news
which
that way.
Way do I sit? Do I sit in
well, I mean, it's that's – but that's why – But that's why the internet is not – people prefer television for certain things, though. It's because you can relax and watch them.
Well, sure.
And people don't want to be hunched over.
Well,
the,
we're officially old guys. I'll never sit there and go, hey, I'd much rather watch this movie on my computer.
No, there are kids that'll watch, you know, full, you know, seasons of television shows.
On a laptop.
On a laptop in a little tiny window.
I'll never want that.
While they're on Facebook and be fine with it.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that at all, but I know people do it.
They're ridiculous.
Well, I have an ice screen. Yeah. I have a million ways to get my content now.
Yeah.
Because I have Netflix, and I have multi-channel cable.
Yeah.
And I can stream
By the way,
stuff.
Congratulations, Netflix, on putting teenagers out of work.
Because of the Blockbuster
They've
thing?
Killed Blockbuster.
Well, dude. Blockbuster... Kind of
people bitched about Blockbuster from the first day it opened,
right?
But Netflix, it wasn't going to go anywhere until Netflix came around.
But here's the problem with Blockbuster, in a sense, was that they so cornered the market on video rental that they put everybody else out of business,
right?
To where there was nowhere for them to go but down because they got too big. Do you know what I'm saying? Like even like a McDonald's. There's always a Burger King across
the
street.
There's a Wendy's.
Or there's a Wendy's. Sure. Because, you know, but I feel like with video, they had this cutthroat attitude about they're the only ones that can do home video rental. And then when they figured out that the money was being, the money that people were spending at Blockbuster was going other places, they had no way to recoup it.
Right.
They had no way to, like, go, well, where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
What do they expand to? How do they diversify? And the answer is they couldn't.
Yeah, they taking the whole market up.
They had one on every...
There was Hollywood Video, but that was it.
They had one on every corner, a Blockbuster
Video.
Well,
there's still Family Video.
There are. You see...
I don't know why that...
Those are small chains
that
are, that
seems to still be going.
But I remember as a kid, like my...
Actual sign at the Family Video in Berkeley that I saw the other day. We have Yogi Bear.
Of course they do.
And Redbox doesn't. That was their claim to fame.
Well, what they did
they had the Yogi Bear.
What they did with Redbox and Netflix is they put them on a 28-day. They won't sell them the disc till 28 days after Blockbuster gets. And I don't know if Blockbuster is paying for that, but I think the movie studios are saying that like it's Blockbuster's more profitable for them or something or these. But you know why there's a Family Video is because it used to be you'd go in the video store and my buddy, my best friend in like high school and college worked at like a little corner video store. Was that they all had the adult room.
Right.
And, you know, Family Video was like, we're not going to have the adult room. And Blockbuster did that, too. And, you know, that was part of their business plan, too, was to say, like, you can send your kids into Blockbuster. And they're not going to walk into that creepy room.
Kids aren't going to know about the porn room in a video store. I tell you, these kids today.
So what they did then, but listen to this. This is why the pornographers are some of the greatest people I've ever met. Here's why. They said, all right, you don't want us to have our room? All right, fuck you. We're going to put it in your fucking house on your computer, and now your kids got to deal with it that way. You know what I'm saying? It was in its room.
It used to be harder to get porn.
Porn used to be...
Took effort to get it.
Used to drive downtown into the bad neighborhood to get your porn.
By the way, that's hurting Detroit's economy.
You can't do that.
You can't even go get porn anymore.
Well, yeah, they closed down the porn places.
There's still a couple.
Then they put the porn in the suburbs and the video stores. Then they come along. They don't want the porn in the video stores. So now, where's your porn? It's right there. It's in front of you. It's every day. There you go.
And then deal with that, dummy.
Now we got to deal with it everywhere all the time.
Block off the whole internet.
Exactly. So, you know, hey, you could have kept your porn where it was. Everyone was had. Wasn't bothering anybody. But now...
I don't know why we even write topic lists out of the show. We just kind of go...
The show is almost over, and we've talked about nothing on my sheet.
Well, whatever.
Nothing on my sheet. By the way, I'm going to begin reading the Al Goldstein biography. I have it on my bookshelf.
Oh, the publisher of Screw Magazine.
Yeah, if you want to hear...
Speaking of classy pornographers.
If you want to go hear some of the funniest shit ever, go look up Al Goldstein on YouTube. Because he really is one of the funniest guys you'll
Al
ever
Goldstein
hear.
Was crazy.
He's just hilarious.
He did a lot of crazy stuff.
He's a funny, crazy old Jew.
He's a creepy bastard.
There's
too.
A YouTube clip of him reviewing Luggage from Midnight Blue, which was his cable access television show, which you can get on DVD, by the way. I have them queued up on Netflix, so I'll have to watch those. But it's like his New York public access thing. And he would just do segments where he would talk about where he went to dinner and why it sucked. And he's hilarious. It's so funny.
Joel likes Al Goldstein.
Al Goldstein's a riot. If you never,
I think Al Goldstein's kind of a what's the word? Nudnik. I don't know. He's kind
of he is. He's but he's funny.
Kind of a schmuck.
He's entertaining.
I would bet that's an interesting read.
There's an entertainment value in Al Goldstein. Yeah,
he did. I gotta get. You know, when I give credit, now it's easy to be a pervert.
Yeah.
It took a lot of work. To be a pervert.
He was a real scumbag back when. No, when he, but he's got like a lot of. You know, he blew all his money, and all kinds of shit happened to him that was bad. So. It's funny because, you know, he was around and...
I wanted to make a movie about those brave pioneers that were making, like, silent film pornos. Well, that's what I want to see.
They made a movie about these two guys. It's funny. Well, here's a segue for you. They made a movie about the brothers...
The Dark Brothers.
Yeah, the Dark Brothers. And they made a biopic with Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
And that was on, like, Showtime or something.
Oddly enough.
And...
who would have thought Charlie Sheen would be in a movie about porn?
Yeah. They made a movie about those guys, and they had, like... They like own the theaters.
Oh.
So that's why those guys were like, and then they just decided to produce the content and stuff.
Apparently there's a 3D porn movie in China that's coming out.
Oh, well.
And apparently
put me right on that.
Well, it's like,
get my ticket to China ready.
No, what's going on is it's like you get the unrated version in Hong Kong.
Oh.
So people are flooding from the mainland to go watch,
like, it's that good?
This Sex and Zen 3D.
But is it do they not have porno in China? Is there no industry?
Yeah, they don't really have porno.
Yeah, it's repressed.
Which, by the way, if you got a billion fucking people, they apparently know how to do it. They don't really need any porn stuff.
I guess not.
Here's what's great about China, though. They'll send, like, their 14-year-old girl to go work in a city as a hooker, but they won't have porn.
Wow.
What, can you know, get it straight,
whatever,
you fuckers.
Whatever gets you through the night. What can I say?
They got hookers. They got hookers as far as the eye can see, but porn is hard to come by.
The number one topic on my sheet today was Charlie Sheen opens his tour in Detroit last week. Bombs like a fucking...
What a dish.
Hiroshima fucking Nagasaki megaton bomb.
That's insensitive, Joel.
I'm sorry.
Sendai.
Sendai.
Forget the 40s.
A Fukushima nuclear disaster. That was the Fox Theater and Charlie Sheen's.
Let's update our Japanese disaster metaphors.
Yeah,
he blew up like the Fukushima reactor.
Why does Hiroshima get to be the only place that has a little radiation?
I am really shocked by this Japanese disaster. It's really horrifying. It's terrible. You would think that by now, Godzilla would have arose from the ocean to eat that radiation.
No, that's not.
You would
not,
have really thought it would have attracted him.
The Japanese. That's,
that's awful.
All right, so Charlie Sheen comes.
You know what sucks about this thing? I've never been to Japan.
And now you ain't going.
And now it's
going
to be real difficult for me to book.
I mean,
that
like,
flight.
I would feel that in a year. You know, I mean, look, we had 9/11 in New York, and, you know, tourists still came and stuff. So,
but it could be like, I mean, Chernobyl, there's like a 30-mile radius where nobody ever goes.
What's crazy is that it's in, like, the water.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it could spread through the water different way.
Russia is vast.
Yes.
Japan isn't.
Japan is very dense and small,
so they lose a 50-mile radius. That's going to be a bitch for them.
Well, apparently what you do is you pour cement on it.
Yeah.
But if it's in, but the thing is, this water that they're cooling it with, they're dumping into the ocean, like, on purpose. Because they got nowhere to put it.
Well, what's happening? No, there's a leak.
Right.
They have to pump water in to keep
the reactors. Right, but then the water that comes out goes into the ocean.
Right. Let's get into the whole fission process. Right. There's spent fuel rods.
Charlie Sheen, please, can I please do this? All right, let me get into this. So he comes, does this show. Now, here's the thing with Charlie Sheen. He sold these tickets. And I'll admit, even I went online the opening day sales for the Charlie Sheen tour.
Did you really?
And attempted to get tickets because I got all hyped up.
I've never wanted the drop buttons back.
Okay, but you remember he did that week where he was doing like every television interview? This was before Japan went crazy, right? And everyone thought Charlie Sheen was hilarious and everyone was quoting him. Then he puts these tickets on sale and they go. They sell out so quick, right?
Right.
You can't get a Charlie Sheen ticket. You can't steal one. You can't kill for one. There's no way to get in. It's the hottest thing in town. Then Japan happens. These shows are 3-4 weeks
Libya.
Off. And all this shit comes down. And then, like, Charlie Sheen is back, and you're kind of going, like, you know, maybe this isn't that funny anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, then he's still got to go do the shows. So I think a lot of what happened to him in Detroit, and you know the story by now, if you're not, you know, if you're not under a rock, you know, he went to Detroit, and, you know, I'll explain my theories for why it went wrong on some level. But I think part of it was just that there was a Charlie Sheen fatigue that really set in, you know. Nowadays, people are not, you know, things that are hot topics, you know, especially like on the internet, they don't really last all that long. Some of those things just don't have legs.
Let me throw a name out for you, Joel. What's see that? If you can remember this.
Sure.
Rebecca Black.
Yeah, I know who Rebecca Black is.
But I'm just saying.
But that's, yeah. And
it's already died down.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, you need to name somebody from last year and you don't even know.
All right. Chocolate Rain.
See,
that guy.
I don't
what
even know
name?
Which. I don't
can
even
you name
know,
that guy?
I don't even know what that is.
It was a song that was big on the internet.
I don't even know.
Chocolate Rain.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like either I missed out or forgot about that.
It was like 2 years ago.
Sure, yeah.
Huge thing.
But those internet stuff, the memes and that, and I think the thing with Charlie Sheen was he was overexposed.
Yeah.
So he comes to first of all, the whole thing with the sellout, you know, the sellout was bogus.
Well, because scalpers bought them and then couldn't get rid of them.
But apparently a lot of the tickets were either returned or they were being held for some reason because, like, the day before, I went like, well, maybe I should look, and I could get, like, not a great ticket for Charlie Sheen, but let's say 15 rows back. There were two available, you know, like, so tickets were available. As much as they said it sold out in 10 minutes or whatever, it really wasn't the case.
That was really, it was really funny.
It was kind of a phony sellout.
It was
they
really,
could do that now.
It was really funny the night that show went up to look at your Facebook posts. Like, people were, like, there were people that went to the show.
Well, I was hanging out with you that night,
yeah.
And we were playing games at my girlfriend's apartment. And I was like, well, let me just see what if the Charlie there's an update.
Yeah.
And I went to TMZ, and the headline was like, Charlie Sheen bombs in Detroit, gets booed off.
I said, like, I was like, I said,
and I didn't expect it to be like that. I was like, oh.
Well, I saw like a couple of Facebook posts for people that were on it. I'm like, oh, Joel,
well,
go check the news sources.
Well, my feeling was like, it was gonna suck.
Oh yeah.
And again, this is a lot of what we talked about with the Oscars is, you know, you have people who aren't comedians trying to do comedy. I would have been more assured with Charlie Sheen if I would have heard like. Charlie Sheen is in L.A. working his set at small clubs throughout the week, preparing for his tour, and you never heard those stories. So you know the guy put zero thought into this.
Okay. Chris Rock was on Howard Stern last week or this week, and he said when he does a new special that he goes out for about 3 months.
Oh, I
and
absolutely.
And he gets up, he goes to like the Comedy Cellar or Caroline's every night.
Sure.
And works an act. And then when he's ready to do that, he'll go to like Governor's on Long Island.
He'll do it, yeah.
He'll go and do those clubs for another 2 months.
Before the theaters and that.
Chris Rock's one of the best comedians in the world, has been doing comedy for 25 years, and he's got to do time with this material.
Well,
right?
You saw the Seinfeld movie, Comedian. That was exactly what it was. He was trying to build a set, and you saw him.
You got to build a
the
set.
Small clubs, and then at the thing, and he was showing up, popping in, and doing sets, and then he was doing longer sets of clubs. Yeah, and that's the whole thing. And that's what I would expect this to do, but this was such a cash-in, and it was such a poorly thought and planned out thing that they figured anything this guy is going to do is gold. And when he showed up in Detroit, he didn't have the chops. He didn't have anything. From what I can gather is that most of the show, at least the Detroit show, was him showing like movie clips and stuff. And like I guess he had made some movie years ago with Johnny Depp because that was his buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like there was a lot of that, and everyone said all those clips sucked.
What was the alien invasion movie he made in the mid-90s? Did he show that? Remember?
I don't know.
Remember the aliens were taking over like the satellite dishes.
Yeah. But I
the invasion, the arrival.
The arrival, yeah. But so that, apparently that was a lot of it. So he brings out this
what
guy.
What was the Garbage Man movie with Emilio Estevez? You show clips from that? Men at Work.
Men at Work, okay. But he brought out a guy to open for him who, you know, and apparently this guy lasted like about 3 minutes because the show started late. And then after the show started late, they didn't get to see Charlie because they saw some opener. And all they had to do was put this guy's name on the ticket or just somewhere on the marquee or somewhere to let them know there'd be an opener, and they could have made it so much easier for this guy. And this guy is Kirk Fox, who you may not know his name, but he was on Last Comic Standing, I think, two seasons ago or whatever.
Guy with a, he was on the last one.
Was he on the very last one? Okay. But he looks like My Name is Earl. That's kind of his thing.
He's got a hip, ironic mustache.
Yeah.
Big, tall guy.
Yeah.
I thought he was fairly decent on Last Comic Standing.
Sure. Yeah, and he looks a little strung out. He looks like he's been hanging out with Charlie. And, you know,
but he's got kind of a he's got a style that's sort of a little he's not a guy that's going to own a room.
Right. He's not a guy that's going to come out and take over.
Right.
He's more kind of, yeah. He's a little laid back.
He's got kind of an ironic laid back delivery.
Sure.
And when you're playing a theater with I don't know how full it was.
They claim it was sold out on the night, but that Fox holds 4,500 people.
There were pictures of empty rows.
Well, eventually that was the thing. People left and, you know, whatever. So
there's a different, it takes a different kind of comic to play a 4,000 seat theater.
Yeah.
We're not trying to be dicks about this. Maybe I am. You know, because I'm sick of people thinking they can do stand up. It really
it is annoying.
It's real, like James Franco and Anne Hathaway. Go fucking suck a dick.
Well,
both of you put a dog in your mouth. Comedy,
I think they both do, but.
Well, that's true. She probably put his in while he put somebody else's in his mouth.
It is. We got to talk about his movie,
too.
Was
it Daisy Chain?
We got to talk about his movie.
Oh, Your Highness?
Oh, I was reading so much good stuff on the internet the other day.
Yeah, well.
I was reading this gossip site.
Loves the tabs.
There's so much good stuff on there that I'm not even going to talk about.
The bottom line for Charlie Sheen is, people went for the looky-loo train wreck
factor.
And then they got a train wreck.
Yeah.
And he was probably out there coked out of his head.
Yeah.
And rambling.
Yeah.
Not a professional performer.
Well,
and it takes a
the
skill.
The other thing, right, because the thing for him that Charlie, now look, when Charlie was passionate and he was mad about, you know, 2 and a Half Men and screaming at these guys and the reporters would show up and he'd go crazy. You know, he was being passionate in the moment and he gave a shit. And you could tell by the way he was delivering it. And that stuff was entertaining. The problem is when you're setting up a show and, you know, people are showing up and you've got a theater full of people and you've got to go entertain them, it's a different energy. May not have that passion at that moment to go on.
It is absolutely different.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
You know,
and so you may have, like, that's you and I will sit here and rant and rave and be hilarious about shit because we give a fuck at that moment.
Right.
And I'm referring to previous shows, not this one.
This one,
but point is that
I was upset about Jim Garner's stunt driving. Yeah. God damn it!
But my point is that, you know, like when you're in the moment, you can be hilarious and spontaneous and off the cuff.
Sure.
But then when you got to get up and you got to do something that's rehearsed, you can't just throw a
and
switch and it happens.
Don't get that.
People don't get it at all.
They don't understand. And I'm a big phony because I help teach the comedy class sometimes.
Yes.
You do sometimes.
I do sometimes too. Yes.
I'm like
I sometimes teach the rival comedy class.
And you teach a writing class.
All right.
The writing class might be a little different, but I teach, I'm like a guest instructor at a comedy class. And I try not to tell these people, like, I'm not going to make you funny. I'm going to make you prepared to perform on a stage.
Yeah.
Because that's, and then they don't get that either.
Preparation is the key to, to everything.
There is a certain,
it's not the only thing, but without it, you really are not, you know.
There's no trick to make you a successful comedian.
No.
There are tricks to make you better focused and capable of processing what happens to you on a comedy show. Because it's only an experience that people know when they do it.
Yeah.
You don't know.
And you know, and guys will hop up on stage at an open mic and get lucky and be all fired up about something or something that was in the news.
Sure.
And have the room in stitches and all that stuff.
And guess what? A softball player could go up and hit Roger Clemens, maybe get lucky.
But you know, when you got to do it the next, when somebody says, okay, I want you to do that. Can you do that seven times next week at Joey's Comedy Club?
Right.
They probably can't do it. It's one of those things.
Can
it's
you
like,
deliver
you know,
it?
Right.
Speaking of which, I'll be delivering it seven times in a row at Joey's Comedy Club. What is it, the 23rd?
I'm there next week. So.
Oh, you're there next week and I'm the week thereafter.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, there you go. So I'm there from the, what is that, the 13th to the 16th. But I'm the opening act. I'm the MC.
So I'm in the middle.
You're in the middle. So Corey will be doing a longer set.
Come check it out.
Either way, if you want to go out to Joey's Comedy Club, let us know. I'll try to get you free tickets. Call the douchebag hotline.
There you go.
Email us.
610-552-0747.
Email it, Corey.
So Charlie Sheen sucked a big
dong.
Yeah,
and Kirk Fox, the poor bastard, really had no shot.
I don't know how experienced Kirk Fox is. I'm sure he's doing comedy for a little while.
Shecky wrote up, if you want to go read SheckyMagazine.com, they wrote up that Kirk Fox has all these projects and TV tapings and holding deals and all this shit. So I think Kirk Fox is going to be okay. But he only did the first show. They threw him right off.
And then they said enough of that.
Yeah, because now I guess the deal is Charlie goes out and he sits with a guy and they do a Q&A, which is basically...
I bet Kirk wasn't real upset about, like...
Not having to bomb every night.
He probably didn't want to have to put up with that shit.
Yeah, and not having to have his name dragged through the mud and totally suck. Because now essentially what he's doing, which makes perfect sense, and you've done this many times, is he's basically going out and he's getting interviewed by a guy. And he's doing like a, you know, almost like a book tour without a book.
Mm.
And, you know, there's a tons of guys that do that. And it's fine. It's not stand-up comedy, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? You know, guys will go out and give lectures on stuff.
Being the opener for something outside of a comedy club. If you go to a comedy club or you go to a designated comedy night at a bar, it still sucks to be the MC. But people realize that there are three comics.
Sure, yeah.
They appreciate that there's a structure there.
Yeah.
If you try and open up for something, and you've done this.
Yeah, you try and open up for a rock band. Yeah.
You try and open up at some kind of art show or some kind of anything else. They don't fucking care.
If they don't know comedy's coming, they don't want to watch
it. And I've seen openers for things like, you know, Kevin Smith or whatever.
Yeah.
They're never going to give you the respect that they would in a comedy club.
Exactly.
Just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for Kirk Fox, but I'm sure he's happy to be. Apparently, Mark Maron said, I haven't heard his latest show. Well, he didn't talk about it on his latest show, but he said that he had gone and had a meeting with Charlie and tried
and probably Mark told him all the stuff we're talking about right now.
Exactly.
And Charlie didn't listen.
And Mark Maron said, I just went because I wanted to see what was going on with Charlie. You know, he said, I wanted to be. I was interested in what was going on with Charlie Sheen.
When you're as full of yourself,
so I took a meeting.
As Charlie Sheen is,
right?
Even if you give him the advice, it doesn't mean he's going to take it, and he probably didn't. And he ended up, but he did. You know, it does mean that he did retool the show, and what he's doing now is more like, you know, what they want. You know, he's more like doing spoken word. He's just doing like a Q&A with the guy. You know, what I mean, that's like something you would do after a movie or something with somebody. You know, you know, and that's no big deal. But I mean, you know, is that worth $80? Probably not.
No,
but
you know,
he's hot right now, so I don't begrudge Charlie Sheen. But at the same time,
I will say it does make the city of Detroit look like shit again.
Well, everyone blamed Detroit, and he just gave us. He didn't know what he was doing.
He gave a shitty.
He put on
a
terrible show, and at least in Detroit, we do have the balls to go. Like, if you're not doing a good show, we'll let you know.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I went to Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, okay.
And this was right up the street at the Magic Bag. I know we're doing a long show.
We got for 20 minutes.
Whitney Cummings came in. And Whitney Cummings, speaking of holding deals and pilots, she's real hot right now.
Sure.
She got hot off the roast. Yeah. And so everybody wanted her to come in and do roast jokes. We went and saw her over at the theater over here. And she did fine for a while. Mm-hmm. And then the crowd was the biggest collection of jackasses. And I think because I don't know how that room's configured or it is.
What was her structure? Who did she have? She had somebody in front of her?
Yeah, she had AJ Finney who did well.
So that she brought somebody.
Yeah, well, actually, AJ Finney was in town from the comedy festival.
Oh, okay.
And happened to stay over.
But that's a friend of hers or something?
I guess. Whatever. He got the gig because he was in town.
Okay.
And AJ did well, and AJ's a super nice guy. I talked to him. But this crowd wouldn't give her the. And she kind of let him, you know what? She let him have it a little bit.
Please don't take this the wrong way.
No.
She's not a comedian. And I know, I'm not dispersing her being a comedian. People weren't there because she's a comedian. They're there because she's on television. They're not fans of her stand-up. How many people do you think had seen a 60-minute Whitney Cummings show ever that was in that audience? Probably very few.
But
there's probably people who had seen her live in the past at some club.
It's real difficult.
And I don't know what special she's done. She's probably done Comedy Central or something. But most people either knew her from a roast or they know her from that fucking Chelsea Lately show.
Sure.
Where she's on for 5 minutes. And you know what? And that doesn't, you know, again, it's not people who are there to watch along. They don't realize what a comedy show is.
She was funny, but I don't think she had enough material.
Well, I'm not even saying that because I wasn't there. Yeah. But I'm saying,
well, this is what
if you're saying, why did the audience suck? I'm not saying that the audience sucked just because Whitney Cummings wasn't funny for 60 minutes, but
and you
that
know
might
what?
Be true.
I detected, and this will probably shit-can any opportunity I have to work with Whitney Cummings if she comes back to town.
Please.
But I don't think she had an hour of material.
Okay, she
it
might
seemed
not.
Fairly evident but, that she didn't, and then she kind of started playing with the crowd.
Yeah.
And some people are great at that. Ian Bagg, who I just worked with a couple weeks ago, does like 40%. Like, Ian's got material,
right.
But he prefers to work the crowd.
Sure, yeah.
She started working the crowd, and they were there was a guy, was this guy from Howl, okay? And Howl, by the way, is, imagine whatever shithole is in your neighborhood. Like, whatever.
Oh, come on.
Whatever shithole is in your
Howl, Michigan?
No, I'm just
come
saying,
on.
Whatever shithole
is in your neighborhood. You don't even know that you know this guy was from Howl.
He said Howl, okay, yeah. She asked him where he's from. I'm just saying, whatever shithole is in your neighborhood, Howl's worse. So the guy goes, he's yelling out stuff about banging fat chicks, which, first of all, that's my material. And second of all, he's like, here's one of his quotes. If she ain't 280, she ain't a lady.
Yeah.
And then he started yelling out butt fuck. Like, literally screaming butt fuck at like her punchlines.
I have the feeling
and
that
she kind of let him get away with it.
Well, that theater, I don't know, really knows what's going on.
I don't think they were a comedy audience.
I don't think they're. Yeah, and I don't feel that Whitney Cummings, because people know Whitney Cummings. You know, because I mean, if you say that, people might know her because they watch the shows, but probably very few people have actually seen her perform.
Know her for her stand-up. Yeah,
stand-up. Yeah. And I think that's a problem when you go out to see somebody that's more of just a personality.
Yeah.
And you got to go watch their stand-up show. Because remember, like, in Comedian, they even talked about this. And this applies to Charlie Sheen, too, where I think it was it Ray Romano and Jerry were talking? And he says, you know, if you're famous, they give you, like, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll give you 5 minutes just because they know who you are, and they're like, "Wow, it's him, and he's really standing there in front of us."
But
that
then you
got to
work
away,
him,
and then you got to be famous. You know, I mean, I saw the same thing when I had Pauly Shore at the gathering. The kids were so crazy that Pauly Shore was there when they realized Pauly Shore sucked.
Yeah,
and they started throwing cans at his head. Pauly Shore said, "I'm out of here." You know what I mean?
Speaking of which, Pauly's coming to town.
See, there you go.
Paulie's going to be...
Or who's he playing at?
He's going to be at Joey's. So look for that.
He's at the fucking bottom, Pauly Shore. Anyway, let's do some movie reviews. Let's wrap this up because...
I like how we were just excited about plugging that club when we're playing it. And then when... But for Pauly Shore, it's a disaster.
Well, I mean, Pauly... Pauly didn't really do much of his real act when I worked with him at the gathering.
Does
the
he have a real act?
I would guess he does. Yeah. I would think Pauly actually... is a guy who might have, and I mean, I don't know. But again, I think people that go...
No,
well, all right.
He doesn't.
People that go
he
to see Pauly Shore...
I bet he doesn't.
...are probably not audiences you want to be in front of anyway because right. They're there to see Pauly Shore and they're not fans of comedy.
I don't think you or I have an hour that we're both comfortable with.
Well, whatever. It's
you know what I mean?
About,
working an hour is hard to do.
Well, if somebody said we want you to do an hour, I would at least get
you'd
it.
Work at it.
I get it to where I had an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Right now...
Well...
Now, if you had to do an hour tomorrow night, you'd be stretched.
Okay, but I'm not. If I was Whitney Cummings and my stuff
prepared.
Was booked out by a booking agency and I was flown in
exactly.
And had things, you know, I could get an hour. But you know what I mean? Like she's got, you know,
what we're saying, folks, is comedy is hard as hell.
Right, it's and just business. Because you know you have the name recognition is only part of the battle because even when you have the name recognition, there's a reason why you know, and it's true in comedy, I think too that. You know, the big names are still the big names. You know, Cosby is still doing theaters.
Sure.
You know, Seinfeld is still doing... George Carlin, if he wouldn't have dropped fucking dead, would still be playing theater. You know, Don Rickles,
sure.
Joan Rivers, Chris Rock.
The Pantheon is a small number.
Because they can do it.
Right.
And these other guys that come and go, and Pauly Shore is a guy who kind of was hot because he was on MTV and whatever, but again, wasn't really known for doing 60 minutes of stand-up, and he's out there, you know, eating shit at Joey's, you know. And I'll eat shit at Joey's. That's fine, but you know, he's really eating shit. I'm happy for the shit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But he's really so. I think that you know that's what happens when you don't have the goods to back up the name.
That's right.
So there you go. Anyway, and that's why guys end up doing movies too.
Well, wouldn't you?
What do you think, Jim Carrey? You don't think Jim Carrey doesn't wake up every day and go, "Thank fucking God, I don't have to go to a comedy club." Even if Jim Carrey...
Jim still did some stand-up even after he got famous.
Steve Martin, I mean, all these
Steve
guys.
Steve Martin
I mean,
officially quit stand-up
exactly.
And just never...
Yeah, those guys... You know,
okay, Jim Carrey might occasionally, like if it's a, you know, Mitzi Shore's 80th birthday party or whatever, he might show up.
Okay.
You'll never see Steve Martin do stand-up comedy ever again.
How many live appearances per year, you know, paid people, your name's on the marquee, does Tim Allen do in a year?
That's a good question.
I don't know, because I would think he's out, but I at the same time, I know he did. Wasn't there the big Detroit thing that he did with David Allen Greer?
You know what he might be doing?
In Hart Plaza? Is he doing like...
He might do corporate gigs we're not aware of.
That's true, yeah. Some of those guys
might be like... Right. You know, Merrill Lynch welcomes Tim Allen.
Okay. All right. Drew Carey.
Yeah, doesn't do stand-up.
What is he doing?
He's got a full-time gig on The Price is Right.
Okay, but so you're saying he just, doesn't want to do it.
Well,
doesn't need to do it and doesn't enjoy it enough to do it.
Chris Rock's doing a fucking play on Broadway.
Okay.
But he can go and do stand-up whenever he wants.
Well, Colin Quinn wrote a one-man show, and he's doing that.
You know what? You got to do different stuff.
But I'm saying if you're talented, you can.
Unless you're Gallagher. You
know, there's a reason.
And then you can just work state fairs. You can work Petoskey,
Gallagher,
Michigan.
Is a genius.
In the winter.
In his own world, in his own mind, Gallagher is the smartest, funniest guy in the world. Unfortunately, the world doesn't fit what's in his mind. I think is Gallagher.
You've
problem.
Met Gallagher. And
I've met and worked with Gallagher.
You've met Gallagher and Carrot Top. I'm a little jealous.
I didn't meet Carrot Top. No, no, no. I went to Carrot Top show. My friend was opening for Carrot Top. And Carrot Top had been at my friend's house having a barbecue the night before that I wasn't invited to. But I did not actually meet the top.
I'm thinking I might want to go to the Pauly Shore show just so I can meet Pauly Shore.
Okay. I've met Pauly, and he made a gay pass at me, and we've talked about that on the show, too.
So. Hey-o!
I told you that. I mean, did he do it in a joking way? I'm not sure. But anyway, let's move on. Okay. Movie reviews. I'm not saying Pauly Shore is gay, but he did something that was gay.
Oh, well.
We got to do movie reviews.
All right, lightning round.
Well,
I didn't even want to open up the door of evil that is Pauly Shore.
Let's talk about... I'm going to pick the movie we talk about first.
Well, one of them we saw together.
Well... Okay, but you've seen, since I plugged it, and it probably deserves another plug, you've seen Win-Win since I saw it, and I know you liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was terrific.
And that's still out there, so that's probably the best reviewed movie that's out there now.
Go see Win-Win with Paul Giamatti, Amy Ryan, and
Bobby Cannavale. And Jeffrey Tambor. How funny was Bobby Cannavale in that? Wasn't
and
he great?
Melanie Linsky.
Didn't do much.
Two and a Half Men.
But there you go. Great, good cast in that.
She had a thankless
role. She had a kind of a thankless role. Exactly. But
Jeffrey Tambor is great.
Tambor's great, and Bobby Cannavale, I would like to see.
Win-Win's a movie that needs word of mouth, so please go see that.
Yeah, it's probably, because I'm going to recommend two other movies.
I did a Q&A with the director, Tom McCarthy, and he was a good guy.
Good.
So.
Good to hear. So I guess, we've only seen... Well, what have you seen? Do you have any other recommendations before we shit on stuff?
Because
I have two other good movies to recommend.
No, there's the stuff that's still playing's pretty decent.
I've seen stuff you haven't seen. That's part of the
Limitless is pretty good. It's still playing.
Yeah, you say that Limitless. I think you talked about it on here already.
Yeah, but boy, no, the stuff late the last couple of weeks...
Well, I saw good stuff that you didn't see, though. Source Code.
I didn't see Source Code.
Oh, Duncan Jones, David Bowie's son, who made a great movie called Moon a few years ago that you really should see if you like sci-fi.
Sure.
Very 2001 trippy kind of movie. Very cerebral science fiction. Moon was great movie. And Source Code with Jake Gyllenhaal and who's the skirt in that? What's her name? Some hot broad. Monahan. No, there you go. Michelle Monahan.
Some hot broad.
Right, Michelle Monahan. Again, this is a movie that is I'll describe it. It's, again, a thinking man science fiction movie. It's not space alien sci-fi. It's more like, thought-provoking time travel sci-fi.
Adjustment Bureau was similar in that.
It was
high concept.
And again, this movie I will describe somewhat as a bit of a B movie in that it's not, Michael Bay could have made the same script and would have had a million things blowing up and all kinds of effects that weren't really necessary.
Yeah.
And this really almost reminded me of like a Twilight Zone. In a good way, in the very best way. In that, it only needed enough effects to tell the story. And beyond that, it was very much grounded. A lot of it is just like Jake Gyllenhaal in a little pod.
Yeah.
And Vera Farmiga is like talking to him on a headset.
Wow.
And that's a lot of the movie.
Sounds terrific.
And then, it is good. It's one of the best review movies of the year. It's terrific.
I did not see Source Code.
Definitely worth your time. It's a smart sci-fi movie. And so go see Source Code. I also saw Hannah.
Yes, sir.
Which is, God, I forget the guy's name that made this Hannah. It's the guy who made Atonement and Pride and Prejudice.
Gotcha.
And he made a movie which is about this teenage assassin. And it's fantastic. It's like a Jason Bourne movie. And it never stops moving. It's kinetic. It's got the Chemical Brothers did the soundtrack, so it's all this like pulsing techno.
Oh, well, now you're making me feel bad.
And they're going through Europe, and it's really amazing.
Joel, I was busy seeing Hop.
We won't get to Hop. By the way, we're going to shit on movies. I'm going to give you a minute here. You're going to shit on something that I haven't seen yet in a second.
I swear to God, I drew
the short straw.
I drew the short straw this week. I did like everything the week before.
Yeah.
I saw good stuff.
Right.
And then...
No, Hannah
And then
is,
I saw Hop and Soul Surfer, and I wanted to die.
But Hannah is... I think Hannah, you know, Hannah, Win-Win, and Source Code, those might make my top 10 movies of the year. They would be... If they were released last year, they'd probably break my top 10
Win-Win is
for
a,
last year.
Win-Win is definitely a top 10 contender.
Yeah, but I think you would love Hannah. Hannah
I'll
is
dig,
kind
I'll
of amazing.
Check that out.
Because it's this guy who made all these, like, kind of costume dramas.
Yeah.
And they just let him loose on this, and it's a totally different take on action than you've ever seen.
Sometimes,
it's really good. It's Eric Bana and Cate Blanchett. And Cate Blanchett is the bad guy in this.
Okay.
Which is kind of a
Cate Blanchett's awesome. She
and Cate Blanchett is great, and Eric Bana is great, and
sometimes,
it's the girl, the little girl from whatever her name
Saoirse
is.
Saoirse Ronan from the...
The Lovely Bones.
The Lovely Bones. Who her name is spelled nothing like how it's pronounced.
It's because she's Irish. And
Saoirse.
You know, they're retards. So,
thank you.
I was trying to explain why.
And they have purple horseshoes.
Yeah, they do.
And green clover.
But yeah, Hannah is terrific as well. Again, it's a small movie.
Uh-huh.
Like Win-Win, you may not see it everywhere, but it's definitely something great too.
So. Mm-hmm. And so I saw, speaking of a director doing something that's not what his former work was like, David Gordon Green directed Your Highness.
Yes.
He also did Pineapple Express.
Yeah, which was really where he broke format in that one.
And much like Pineapple Express, it's an uncomfortable mixture of violence and comedy.
I kind of like Danny McBride, although I didn't like Pineapple Express very much.
No.
And I think we did a video review for that.
Yes,
if you
want
to go watch that on our YouTube channel, it's up there. But I kind of saw the trailers for this and went like, I don't really want to see this.
No.
Yeah, and it's getting savaged. It has an it opens today.
I'm kind of a little split on.
Oh, really?
I'm a little split on Your Highness. It does answer the question that we've all been wondering for years and years,
which is what?
What would happen if you mixed Conan the Destroyer with Porky's?
And
I don't know who was wondering that question.
You.
I think Danny McBride has this basic operating philosophy of, let's take stuff I liked when I was 12 and add dick jokes. And that's exactly what Your Highness is.
Did he write it?
Yeah, he wrote it.
Yeah, well.
The problem here's what happens with Your Highness. It's Danny McBride and James Franco on a fantasy quest adventure to rescue Zoe Deschanel from an evil wizard. Okay?
All right, well.
Who's played by Justin Theroux, who's the funniest guy in the movie.
Okay.
And it's got, it really actually looks like a pretty good fantasy movie.
Yeah.
It looks like, not as much.
It seems like a throwback to like Bill and Ted or
it's
a Cheech and Chong.
Yeah,
almost, like,
yeah. That's funny.
The Corsican Brothers or something. Yeah,
I said Cheech and Chong when I left the theater.
Okay.
It's got that vibe, but it's a lot of swear words. It's a lot of, a lot of sex jokes.
Well, even the name Your Highness is a pun on
right.
We're high. And,
right. And Danny McBride is basically playing Danny McBride in the old times.
It's funny that I like Danny McBride, but when
but
you ask
you
me...
you don't really like
when
him.
When you ask me the Danny McBride projects, I go, the only one that I would even say I really liked is Eastbound and Down. And even with that, I really only liked the first season.
What about Foot Fist Way?
That was horrible. Now, Foot Fist Way is the biggest piece of shit of all the... It's so bad.
And Observe and Report, which Danny McBride wrote but should have starred in but didn't because...
He had a little role in that.
He had a role in it. Yeah. Danny McBride kills every movie he's in.
Well, but Danny...
I thought he did it with Pineapple Express.
I thought he was the best thing in Pineapple. I didn't hate him because of Pineapple Express. I just didn't like that movie.
Yeah.
But I thought, when he's in stuff like Up in the Air, he's good, but it's not his vehicle. When it's his vehicle, I don't know that
he was good in Up in the Air.
Yeah, he was very good.
You know why?
Up in the Air,
because
but it wasn't...
he had a good director
exactly.
Wheeling him in. David Gordon Green is his friend.
Yeah,
he was in, not to get all inside Hollywood, but there was a movie called All the Real Girls with Zoe Deschanel about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yes,
that was this really intense indie romance that was kind of, it was heavily dramatic and had some humor, but Danny McBride was in that, and he never acted before.
Yes.
And he was kind of good, because you were like, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. But he wasn't doing the full-on Danny McBride obnoxious shtick.
Right.
Well, when you give him a whole movie and, you know, a $75 million budget to go play with swords and, you know, right. dragons, but it's going to get out of control.
It's funny, because I do like him. I can't tell you I don't like Danny McBride, but at the same
I
time,
think
like,
you will probably hate Your Highness.
I might. I think I'm
going
to wait to watch that on DVD or something.
And what I wrote in my review is that it kind of wears you down, like that kid who's making the armpit fart noises in the back of the bus,
yeah,
like on a school field trip. You know, eventually... Right. The kid makes the fart noise for the 50th time, and you laugh at it. Because that's what it is.
But
it's basically them going, like, I cannot believe this wizard has stolen my bride. Let's go kill that magical cocksucker.
But
you know, it's like that.
I remember hating Pineapple Express because it was, like, too violent.
Yeah.
Because it turned into, like, a macho kind of... And does this movie go that way or not really?
Yeah, the conclusion of this movie is actually kind of a kick-ass fantasy movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's wizards shooting stuff around, and they're flying around, slicing people open.
Yeah, you're not winning me over, but I could see where, like, a nerdy fan of this show might enjoy that.
Justin Theroux has got Zoe Deschanel's a virgin. He kidnaps her so he can, you know, summon a dragon or something, and they call it the fuckening.
Okay.
They're like, the fuckening will begin now.
Well, let's not ruin the other three good jokes in that and go on. What was the letter grade you ultimately gave? Because we have to move on to the final
movie. I'm giving it
like
a B-.
Okay, B- from Corey. Let's both give Arthur a D because we both saw that. We were both at the screening this week. And
I gave Arthur a D in the paper.
Did you give Arthur a D in the paper?
Because
it really deserves it.
We were trying.
Here's
what's really funny is that both our girlfriends wanted to see Arthur.
And they
so we brought them both.
Yeah.
And we were both trying to downplay how much we didn't like it for them, I think. I think we were kind of...
My girlfriend didn't like it.
Yeah.
So, and
but it seemed
either.
Like... What's funny is everybody brought their wives or girlfriends to that movie.
Yeah.
And it just laid there.
It's, you know, it's one of those things where it should be automatic.
Yeah.
Like an Arthur remake and, you know, and like I don't fault Russell Brand's performance in it.
Do you remember one line from that movie?
I remember because I
read Washer Winky.
I read some reviews of it today, and they talked about when he was at the auction, and that was kind of a funny scene.
Yeah.
And when he was, they were doing the shower, and he was singing songs at the piano player, and that was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they did the date in the Central Station Terminal or whatever, Grand Central Terminal, and I thought that was kind of a neat scene, but it really, 95% of the stuff does not work.
It's forgettable.
It's just not funny. I mean, they do. They give
the whole
Russell
bit where
Brand
he dresses up like a gummy bear at the candy store.
It's one of those things where it's just the jokes. If the jokes worked, this is a good movie.
Yeah,
in a sense. But the jokes did.
Personally,
although really, Jennifer Garner has got a. Is it too late to move her into a different career? Like, is she set down the path of being an actress? I mean, is there...
You really
never,
hate that girl.
Well, I mean, has she never wanted to be like a dental hygienist or something or sell real estate? Is there not something else?
She was good in Juno, which you don't like.
Well,
but
she was good in that because she was like, you know, the obnoxious, overbearing
bitch. She's good at playing the obnoxious, overbearing
bitch? The cheekbones between her and Russell Brand, they look like they're kissing. They look like they're going to cut each other's faces off with the goddamn cheekbones.
I think she's attractive. I think she's cute, but like... I know many people that can't stand her.
She looks all angular and sort of very kind of Skeletor looking. And
I bet if we were in the room with her.
Well, I'm not in there. I'm not.
Hi-yo.
I'm not.
All right.
I'm not in the room with her.
No.
So I'm in the room with you and a cat. So yeah, she'd look hot right now if she walked in. The cat is very soft and not angular. But anyway.
Not like me.
You're very wrong.
I'm all sharp angle.
Take off that gummy bear suit, Corey.
They call me Mr. Geometry because I'm all hard angles.
You know, and Helen Mirren actually probably is the best thing in this. But, you know, again, is she as good as John Gielgud in the original? No. Nobody's as good as what they are in the original.
And that's really what, you know what? I've seen worse movies this year.
Yeah.
God knows I've seen worse movies this year. I've seen worse romantic comedies.
Well,
I'm going to see worse romantic comedies
later. You're going
later.
To, yes.
There was a trailer for a Jennifer Goodwin movie.
Something Borrowed.
Right? Look how bad that looks.
Something Borrowed, which is going to be the reason they don't have windows in the movie theater, because people would be jumping out from this piece of garbage, something borrowed.
And then there's there's one that's like Kristen Wiig is like, it's like the lady.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Lady Hangover.
The lady Hangover, right? Yeah, it's I forget what that's called.
It's like Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah,
anyway.
The Lady Hangover.
And but back to Arthur, let me bring something up. And it's an elephant in the room for a lot of people. Let me bring out that the first Arthur sucked.
No,
can we just say
Arthur,
that?
No, I just completely
it's
disagree.
It's mediocre.
I watched the first Arthur about 3 weeks ago, and I laughed.
Really?
And I enjoyed it as much as I did back then. The thing with the original Arthur is this. It's a very small movie. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, if you make that original Arthur, it's like a win-win. It's an indie comedy. Yeah. It's not a big Hollywood thing. It's a very – because, you know, cause I was reading – people were talking about the original Arthur, and they were going, you know, when Arthur came out, like, Animal House comedy was king.
Yeah.
It was all those SNL guys making all these wild movies. And then Arthur came out, and it was kind of this little character study.
Yeah.
And it worked for that. And this movie really is – if there wasn't an original Arthur, maybe this one's better because you've seen it done well and then you've seen it done bad. So even if you didn't like the original Arthur, you have to admit that the tone of that worked for the story better than this
piece of
shit.
I think the problem with it is that the original Arthur, he was somewhat likable.
Yeah.
And – because, okay, he's Dudley Moore.
Yeah.
Dudley Moore was what, 5'2"?
Yes.
He was kind of pint-sized.
Well, yeah.
He was extraordinarily rich, but Russell Brand is like rich and tall
and
sexy
much
and thin
and
younger.
And all that stuff.
Right? Yeah. There's no likability there.
Well, there's no, like, you know, Arthur was a sad man.
Yeah.
Inside, and you don't get the feeling
Russell Brand's having a great fucking time.
Yeah, Russell Brand doesn't really get
he's having a great time.
Out.
He didn't relate. Greta Gerwig was.
Oh, well.
He didn't connect with her at all.
Let's pretend she wasn't in this.
Right.
Because somebody, I was reading a review and the guy said, let's pour out a 40 for the indie darling that was Greta Gerwig. Because
they shit on her career.
Well, listen, again, she had nothing to do in this. They made her. Mm-hmm. They didn't even make her, because Liza Minnelli in the first movie was, you know, brassy and a tad unlikable, and she stole the tie when they met.
She was
a lot of reasons for him not to date her.
She was sarcastic, which he liked because nobody else gave him shit.
Yeah, and she gave him shit. And this, she's like a mound of dough.
This is a popular theme in movies. Okay, it's and so many movies have this. It's the incredible power of quirky pussy.
Yeah.
And Zooey Deschanel actually is the queen
somebody
of this.
Somebody said that. It's the indie, what would this, somebody called it something else, like the indie, like the crazy indie dream girl, like Natalie Portman in Garden State.
Sure.
That she's kooky. For some reason, she's single.
See Yes Man with Jim Carrey?
And Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel plays that exact part.
Yeah, yeah.
But she did it well in 500 Days of Summer because you realize that girl's a bitch.
Okay, yeah.
Right. But instead, the crazy indie girl is going to save your soul. Let me tell you right now, having dated a fistful of crazy indie girls, they're fucking cunts. That's what they are. Please. They'll ruin your life.
All right,
if they got Stereo Lab Records, if they got turn around. If there's a Paste magazine, I'm sorry.
She's not. They didn't even.
If there's more than one container of tofu in the refrigerator, back the hell away.
They didn't even make her like crazy, like some of those other girls.
No, she was a little mildly quirky.
There's really not even like a negative. It's like, why this girl isn't dating the bass player from some band in Brooklyn?
Sure,
you know what I mean. Like it doesn't.
Well, that's another thing in movies: the inexplicable singleness.
The single,
of people.
The prettiest girl in the room is single.
Mm-hmm.
Why? No, it doesn't. So Arthur is really bad. Trust us when we say don't spend your money on this thing. Even if you were brought in by the trailer and you thought it was funny, Luis Guzman does nothing. No point.
The best thing I can say about Arthur is if it's on a plane and you're and it's a long flight. Like okay, if it's a
long movie. I think it's over 100 minutes.
If you're flying to New York, no. If you're flying to Europe or Asia, then you may watch Arthur.
They may show Arthur
because
you're just
going to have to watch something because you're on a plane for 8 hours.
It becomes, you know, I mean, look, if this was Adam Sandler in this, you know, it almost feels like an Adam Sandler movie and its ineptitude of the character and stuff. Just without him, you know what I mean?
Nothing being real.
Yeah, everything's phony.
Adam Sandler.
Sandler. I mean, that's
speaking
what I mean
of shitty
by
movies.
That. Yeah.
That Adam Sandler movie was terrible.
Just go with it.
God, was it
brutal? Well, okay.
All right.
But But I'm saying that's how it feels like. It just feels
well, he
like
doesn't. He doesn't relate.
Yeah.
What happens is Russell Brand comes in and goes, "Oh, hello, I'm Cheeky. Oh, it's wonderful being rich." And no one, he doesn't relate to anyone.
Right, and I like right. Russell Brand. And I,
you know,
I like everybody.
I will say something peculiar.
I like everybody that was in this movie, and yet I
didn't
I didn't. It's not like I just didn't. I dislike this.
Well, you know,
I was watching it going, this needs to end now.
You know,
I was not happy.
They just rounded all the edges off him.
It was
right. He's by the way, he's the most cuddly, lovable, alcoholic, cokehead, poon hound you've ever seen in your life. Right? It's like he crashes into the Wall Street Bull.
Yeah,
which must have done $20 million worth of damage. I don't know.
Whatever. It's a landmark in New York.
What does that landmark cost? I mean, it's a giant bull, brown statue.
If you put a towel on his head, they shoot the guy on the
scene. He crashes the Batmobile into it, and the cops go, "Arthur, you whack-a-nut, you kook-a-doodle." Right? It's like no one could get away with this shit.
Listen, we've... I would feel bad spoiling scenes in this movie.
Fuck that movie.
But it's so bad. It's Arthur is not good, and you know what I mean?
And actually, though, when he was dressed up as the gummy bear, I thought, maybe they should do Russell Brand in The Toy. Maybe that's the movie.
That's what you want him to do?
Yes.
Because that prior was...
I kind of love the bad... That's a bad movie I kind of like.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really considers The Toy a great movie.
No.
Or says prior, you know...
Which, by the way...
Was good in it, but there was...
And I think Arthur's kind of mediocre. I know a lot of people love it. But if you're going to remake a movie... I know they say... Some people go, don't remake a great movie, make a mediocre one.
Oh, yeah.
Arthur maybe blows a hole in that premise.
Well, okay. I mean...
Or if you're going to remake a movie,
make
do
it
something
just
different.
Make it better. Make it better.
Do something different.
They made this
they
worse.
They did nothing different.
And, you know, I funny because I really thought that we were going to be in the minority. I hadn't read any reviews. We
you
saw
thought
this
people
Monday,
were going to like it.
And then I started seeing the reviews coming in.
It was
kind of
crowd-pleasing,
and I
it?
Was going... Yeah, because I almost thought... But I know, and it did get a smattering of applause at the end, which was... It was a big fucking theater full of people. It was 300 people there watching
it. I thought the joke sat there like
yeah,
like
I think so, too.
Along.
And my girlfriend, who would probably normally have liked something like this...
Didn't?
Couldn't even stomach a defense
okay,
of
good.
It.
Okay, good.
So, anyway, it was terrible. All right, we got to get out of here.
Peace.
Corey, thank you very much.
Shalom.
Kirk Fox, good luck in your future endeavors. And who else can we...
get
else?
That ironic mustache.
Who else can we say goodbye
Whitney
to?
Whitney Cummings, I hope that pilot picks up, honey, because stand-up might not be in for you.
Yeah, Whitney Cummings, hopefully you get some kind of development deal, and you don't have to come to the magic bag in Ferndale and eat shit in front of a guy from Howell, because God forbid Howell is the worst place in America.
If she ain't 280, she ain't a lady!
Well,
and then on top of the, see that guy yelling.
Well, no wonder he hated her. She's she's about 135.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that guy yelling butt fuck, and he was right up front. And then he had like a girl in the back. Like there were several of those. Yeah. It's my birthday.
Yeah.
Like they thought that Whitney came there to talk to them. Like Whitney had come to hang out with those girls.
Yeah, well, maybe Whitney should just go do that.
Yeah, just go.
Just go to a bar, make an appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she'd be good at that.
Yeah,
so anyway. All right, good night.
Later.
Good evening. We'll see you.